Hey, kid, I'm a computer. Stop all the downloading.
I don't know about computers so much. The only thing I know about the computers is Mama Teacher puts on the games.
Hello and welcome to episode 90.
Oh, 86!
Of the Try Games Internet Podcast, episode 96. 86!
Yay!
86! 86!
Back in the 90s.
I hate numbers. Yeah. This is March.
Is it 86?
We're at March 30th, which is a week after the week before March 30th. And we're talking about shit. Yes, we have a full house today. We are joined by a very special guest, as he is very familiar with our idiocy. But let's introduce him. It is Slunk Boy, plural actually. Slunks, hello.
Yay!
Stop all the scamming.
And we have our two usual ladies here. Alfred!
Hi.
Tony!
Oh, I'm dumb.
You're dumb.
Dumb.
You take the pattern bar and this shit.
And I'm your host, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon, and we're here to talk about games. And yeah.
Yeah! You're full-blown gay!
You forgot about Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan is being Israeli. No, he's away mentally speaking.
He's been away.
He's been away mentally speaking for a mentally long while.
Probably from playing all those bad games intentionally.
Not even just bad games. He's not playing anything at all. He's just working his ass off.
Hey, you know what? He's actually skiing right now.
Yeah, he's skiing right now. He's working so hard.
Yeah. Oh, not only that, he did buy a PlayStation 3, which shocked the shit out
of
him.
Wow, he's mentally
which
insane.
He's not going to use.
No, he's going to use it for the Vanessa's
going to use it for Blu-ray. He's going to use it for work.
he's just going to lay his dick on top of it every once in a while.
It gets really warm, so maybe he'll find pleasure in that.
He's my dick warmer.
Stop all the dick laying on the console.
But as usual, we start off with what you've been playing, and we're going to start off with Slugs. What you've been playing?
Slugs!
I'm playing PayPal claim game,
oh,
but no. I'm playing Viking, actually, for the 360, like all those are sent for review. I kind of came into this with a little hint of caution because it had Sega on the on the box. And anything with Sega on it lately, just kind of, you know, within the last 5 years
or so. Did it have Sonic announcing the game? Be like, no. Sega, I'm Sonic, fucking bitch.
The Sonic Viking.
Well, give a little background on it, because honestly, I didn't even hear about this game until...
I know, a lot of people are, I'm talking about it to my friends, and they're like, I've never heard of it.
Is this a retail game, or is it XBLA downloadable?
This is a retail, game. Yeah, this is a retail game. It's basically God of War meets Fable.
Okay.
It's you're this Viking named Skaren. He's scary, and you kind of have this free roaming world aspect where it's kind of like Fable. You can go anywhere at any time and do anything, but you have all these quests to do on your map, and you do all these side quests to rebuild the Viking army since the land's been taken over by like crazy Viking demon mythology woman Hel, and since she's taken over the world, like you find all these crazy undead minions to while you're trying to get back all your Vikings, and like you have to go to the quarry, you have to go to the lumber mill, etc., to get back your Vikings. And let's say you liberate the lumber mill. Well, okay, now we can build siege catapults, and you kind of do this whole build up of side quests and trying to get back everything like your wood supply, your food supply, etc. And it just leads into this freaking huge epic battle where you're trying to take back like the main city of the island. And seriously, Al saw it. Like thousands of guys on the screen at once, not even one little frame rate dip for the most part.
Wow, cool.
Oh yeah.
And it's like just so it's pretty much just straight ripped out of Lord of the Rings. It's just amazingly epic. And I mean, Sega didn't develop So maybe that's where the goodness.
We'll just maybe slap our name on goodness. It.
Yeah.
Who did develop it?
Creative Labs, I think it's called. It's who did the Total War games? I think.
Creative Labs.
Medieval. Yeah.
Aren't they the fucking people that make peripherals for computers?
Let me make sure.
Oh, it's not. It's probably like Bizarre Creations or something.
I'm looking for it. Wow. Oh, that's Creative Assembly.
Creative Assembly, okay.
Creative Assembly.
Which is funny because it says Sega right on the front of the box, and I'm like looking all over for the developer, and it's this very, very small logo. You know, apparently Sega didn't want to give credit for this.
Published by Sega! Developed by Creative Assembly!
Pretty much. and the game is pretty good. Past that, there's not much else, unfortunately. It's like... there's no real RPG elements to the game. There's no statistics. There's no leveling up. You kind of have these rune magic powers where you can just buy at a shop, hold down right trigger, and activate, like, fire, ice, and lightning.
Lightning bolt!
Yeah.
I activate my dick!
Fireball!
And it'll give all your guys in the battle, like, everybody around you, the same power. So if you use lightning... Or in my case, usually I use ice because if you hit an enemy with your ice magic, it'll like freeze them, and if you hit them again, it'll just shatter them into pieces.
Cool, so, like, I love that.
That times like 400 because of all the people around you. You just all of a sudden your force is just kind of shipped off like a mile.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Pretty awesome game. Gonna be trying to aim for somewhere between a 7.5, 8.0, but. My Army of Two review previously kind of didn't work out like that, so. I don't know if it's just me. I know, Austin, you're kind of familiar with rating games often, but sometimes I can't match up what I want it to be with, like, what it should be and what I'm trying to go for. Like, I want it to be about a 7.5, 8.0, but I can't, like, tune down the graphics into like a 62 because I want it to be this score, so like I can't quite make it work out. But.
Is this for Xbox? What was it called again? Xbox.
Thanks for remembering me.
Yeah,
Xbox
Family, right? No, wait.
No. Talk Xbox.
I can't remember all these fucking names. wait, but what does the rating system go by though? I thought it was just like number, or do they do the weighted thing too?
It's individually subjective, like graphics, audio, replay, controls, and
so you could theoretically just say like this is a graphics, this is whatever, but in the end it's a 7.5 or it's an 8, right? Like the website doesn't calculate it for you, right?
No, there is an overall separate from that, but I usually will like do the maths and just kind of make it right. So you're not going to see like 90s across the board, but for some reason the overall is a 75.
Right.
I don't think that would quite work out, but yeah.
That's why I hate numbers. I hate numbers.
Oh, stop with all the numbers. But yeah, pretty cool game. I'd probably say. Watch some gameplay videos of it or read a review or two before you buy it. Because not everybody liked Fable, despite it was a pretty above average game.
Alright.
I pass!
Tony! What you been playing?
Oh man, this is pathetic.
I've been playing nothing.
Turok.
Oh, Turok.
Turok 2.
Turok 2? Oh.
Turok 2? Yeah, Seeds of Evil.
With your brain bore?
With my... What?
Didn't they have, like, a brain-boring weapon
cerebral
thing?
Cerebral bore.
Right.
Brain bore.
Hold on, guys. Turok?
You actually played this game. Wow. All right, so, I've been playing Turok 2, and cerebral bore sucks.
That's N64. Can't do this on Genesis. N64.
And I got the 4-meg upgrade, because without the 4-meg upgrade... The game looks 4 megs less than it should.
Great! Thanks for the specificity. Yeah.
At least you can play the game.
Yeah.
Like Perfect Dark. Oh, you can't play this game without the 4 meg expansion pack.
Perfect Dark.
You could, but it looks shitty.
No, you could not. you what? Could he's only play Dark. Multiplayer with Perfect Dark.
Oh, Perfect Dark?
Yeah. If you if you didn't get the expansion pack with Perfect Dark, you could only play like the multiplayer. You couldn't play the standard game.
Wow.
Either, it was either that or you couldn't play the standard game to its completion, like the two-player mode and the counter-agent mode and all that other crap. But regardless, the game ran too slow for my taste. I still have it, but I hate it.
Yeah, no, Turok 2 actually runs much, much slower than Turok 1. And the frame rate is very choppy. So even with the 8-meg expansion thing, I think they were just trying to focus more on the visuals than the actual gameplay, which is a shame because I like Turok 1. Turok 2 is really good, except that, you know, frame rate sucks.
Just technically?
It really does. Huh?
Just technically, like frame rate and all that?
Yeah, frame rate.
Like the actual gameplay aspects are holding up, but just technical stuff is not.
Well, I mean, that ties in. I mean, because you want to turn around to look at something and you're tick, 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 tick. You know, it's like that's what it is. Okay, so somebody's like hitting me in the back, so I got to turn around as quick as possible and like stop me from getting raped. And all of a sudden, tick, 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 tick.
Well, good.
God damn
it!
That's who's hitting me. That's who's hitting my ass. Get off my ass, bitch.
It's unintentional matrix. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatchamacallit? So I've been playing that and. I have to say, very good game, not as good as the first one because the weapons definitely are not up to what the first one
Brainbore!
You suck.
Brainbore!
Yeah, everybody swore about the cerebral bore. It's like, oh, it's the best weapon ever. It goes into somebody's head and eats out their brain and blood spurts out and then the head explodes. Ooh, it's great. No, it's not. It's boring. So, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, well, that's boring. I mean, to me, Shredder. The Shredder, like, blows people's limbs off, heads.
Hamato Yoshi.
Yeah, Shredder.
Oroko
Come here, Splinter. Let me touch your balls.
Oh, no, thank you, touching the rat's balls. Ow, which I'm playing.
Technically, I played God of War for a little bit.
Technically.
You suck.
I ripped the backs off of those sirens.
Oh,
which
shit.
Was really fun.
Yeah, I love that.
That's pretty much all I did. I just went into the desert, and then I killed the three sirens and got inside the building.
Oh, okay.
And then I saved. I was only
done.
Really playing for about half an hour.
So you got past the shitty part.
That was shitty?
Yeah, that was the shitty part.
That was shitty?
What was shitty about it, in your point of view?
I just didn't like having to search for them. Listen to their voice. Now find them.
Yeah. No. I found the bitch.
Only because and this is shitty relatively. I mean, compared to the rest of the game. Well, except for the part where the shitty platforming happens and the stupid. You'll get to that. But
Wait, are you talking about another shitty platforming part other than the harpy thing?
I think that they're like, you know, balancing BMX strewn around there that are just annoying. And then there's a whole thing that I was telling you about way back when I was playing the game where you have to climb a pillar that has like these rotating blades, and the collision box of them is so huge that like even if you come within breathing distance, it'll hit you and knock you down, and you have to climb it all over again.
Yeah, I didn't get
okay.
to that.
Yeah, no, that's far down. You're not gonna get to it for a while. But I mean.
Speaking of falling, can I just point out in Viking, if you fall 5 feet, you die?
Oh.
That's a good
He's
game.
He's got no legs.
Apparently, gravity was much stronger than Viking with Alex.
My insides are very sensitive.
Mega Man gravity.
I'm like, it's kind of hit and miss, too. It's like, I hate to switch the topic, but it's like, if you fall 5 feet, you die. But then sometimes if you fall 10 feet, 15 feet, you're fine. It's like, what? Huh?
Terminal velocity works
the
backwards.
The game decides what's too much for you. It's like, 10 feet, you could survive that. Oh, no, 5 feet, you're fucked.
Anyway,
that's
Al,
it. Goodbye.
Al, you haven't played through God of War?
No. I'm playing it for the first time now whenever I get the chance to turn on my PS2, put it in there.
Well, thank you, because I thought I was the only one. Okay.
Oh, how
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, no, really, I don't get the games.
Son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. Anyway.
You son of a bitch.
Other than that, I've been playing Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations, and in the middle of the third case. This is a pretty cool case that I'm doing, but it's really freaking me out in certain places. like I said, Austin, if you thought Mass Galactica was weird, wait till you get to this.
So they just got weird ass metrosexual characters. Ambiguously.
I don't want to explain any further. Okay. Take Metro, replace that with another word.
Okay.
Put looking afterward, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah, Jose! That's great.
Yeah. So anyway,
a cardboard box looking hoop. What?
Oh,
well, you told to replace it with a word, but go on.
Yeah, I know. A cardboard box sexual looking? No, not really. I played some WoW. The new patch came out with the new.
You suck.
You suck too, Tony, so shut up. a new patch came out on Tuesday, which opened up a new area to play in. Mm. And they set it up so that once that area opened, you have to fight your way through and open up the rest of the zone, basically. Like, right. There's three or four different phases or something like that.
Right.
And my realm is already past phase one. Now they're doing phase two, and they're, like, bombing shit.
How many phases are there? How many phases are there?
I think it's three or four. Right. I forget.
Zug, zug.
So, let's see.
So how much money have you spent on this game already?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I have a job.
Oh, I see.
All I do is pay a monthly subscription. It's not like I have a
job. I got a job. I can afford this shit. Just tell me how much.
Why are you trying to become? I don't fucking know. Multiply fucking $15 by like 3 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn.
$15 a year.
I'm just not the kind of orc.
Don't touch me down here.
Or do they start saying different things in this game? Or do they even say anything?
They don't say things like that.
Oh.
No. Because you don't click on units like that. I mean, you do, but they don't say funny shit. I think that's it. The DS and the PS2, because all my other fucking consoles are away at the moment.
Why?
Since you're playing Phoenix Strike, can you help me with my PayPal claim? Just email them. Objection!
Objection.
What? Email them an objection.
Objection. Hey. Why are they away?
I just disconnected them and put them in various storage locations.
What are you playing, Austin?
Oh, what am I playing? I'm playing the news. Let's move on. No.
No.
Hmm?
You did that last week.
I know. I'm trying to see if I can get away with it, but you guys won't let me.
Nope.
I'm going too long, bitches. All right, I've been playing this game called Shirin the Wanderer for review for the DS, and you wander a lot.
Thought it was the Shirin, the constantly dying one.
Well, he is constantly dying, too.
Are you happy that you're wandering? A lot?
Maybe, actually. I mean, I don't know.
I kind of think what you buy should be in the title. And I didn't buy Viking expecting it to be like, you know, just a GTA 4, I'm in the city kind of guy. I expected to be a Viking. Did you expect him to wander?
But did you expect him to die after falling 5 feet?
Vikings don't die. Should.
Viking, fear of height. That's what they should have called it.
Fear of height. No, but I don't know if any of you have played one of those really old ASCII games on the PC. It's the very first one. I think is called the very first one is called Rogue, and then there were some followers after that. I think the most famous one was like NetHack or something. They're very old RPGs. They're all drawn with ASCII characters, so it looks kind of stupid. But, like, for example, the main character, which is you, is always the at symbol, the little at symbol above the number 2. And then some monsters, like a dragon is represented by a D, and, like, I don't know, an orc might be represented by the ampersand. I don't know. Basically, that's what it is, because, they draw everything with those ASCII lines. And it looks very strange. I'm sure it's freely available now, but anyway, the whole conceit was it was a dungeon-crawling RPG where all the rooms were completely randomized. And your goal was basically just to get as deep into the dungeon as you could. I never got any farther than, like, the fourth floor or something whenever I played it in the past. And I never played it for more than, like, a total of 2 hours because I thought it was stupid and I was a little kid. I didn't understand it. So I don't know how deep it goes and I don't know what the end game goal was. But, you know, once you die, you die. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
They erase your save file.
Yeah, it's completely it. And there is no real. I don't think back in the Rogue days. I could be wrong, but I don't think there even was a save file.
No.
Or maybe there was. Al, you actually read the Wikipedia, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Did it have like a save file, like a permanent save file that saved when you didn't die?
They said that there are some versions that had that, but whenever you loaded the game and started playing with your character, it would erase that status.
Oh, so it's just, yeah.
And then
it's just a suspension.
There were some people who were... Yeah, it's a suspension, but then they said that there were people who were copying those saves, and it's considered cheating. I think they call it save scumming.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically, the whole conceit is you can stop and come back to your game later, but you can never save your progress such that if you die, you can start from where you left off, because the whole point of the game is to make you be careful and see how far you can get. It's like like Diablo without saving.
Right.
You know, because like the dungeons are
hardcore.
Right, the dungeons are. Oh, is that what it's called? Hardcore. The dungeons are randomized, and like the monsters are randomized, and you won't get the same items every time. So, it's very very archaic in that sense. And I don't know if archaic is the best word to use, because I'm sure there's like a market out there for this type of game. But that's what Rogue was like, and Shiren basically takes that and adds graphics on it and some new modern mechanisms. But it still keeps the same core of, you know, if I get to the 13th floor of this, you know, well, I've gotten past it. Let's say if I've got to like the 16th area of this game and I die and I got all this great loot on me, like a great sword and like a nice shield and all these healing herbs and all these crazy spells and shit, I lose them all. And
you know what that reminds me of? That Legend of the Employee Ninja.
Yeah, that's supposedly a roguelike as well. This is what these games are called. These games are all called roguelikes because they're like rogue. So it's this mystery dungeon, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, I believe. I think there's a Chocobo version.
Chocobo Dungeon.
Yeah, and I don't know if this franchise ever came out in the U.S., but the Dragon Quest franchise called Torneko, I think, is the same way.
I'm not sure.
I think they all follow the conceit of the goal is to get as deep as you can before you die. But I think they handle, like, they might handle the death mechanism or the item storage mechanisms differently. Like, I know in the Pokemon games, you had a centralized town where you could keep all your shit, and you could go back to it any time. In this, the towns are spread out. Like, it'll be, like, five floors in a town, five more floors in a town, five more floors in a town. Excuse me, it's in a town.
Oh, it's inside the dungeon.
Yeah, so if you want to go back to a town, you have to traverse back through the dungeon. And because the dungeons are randomized, and whenever you appear in a dungeon, the exit won't necessarily be near you. Like, it's not always easy to get back to a town because, like, the exit is far away.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to any areas where they give me, like, a warping spell or anything. I don't even know if it exists in the game. But I haven't been able to warp back to a town yet. So it's really brutal. And the towns themselves don't even all have the basic amenities that you want to see. Like, not every town has an inn. Not every town has a weapons shop. Not every town has a warehouse. And that's a big thing.
Sorry, we had a budget.
Yeah, exactly. There's a big thing about the warehouses, because your inventory is 2 pages long, and that's it. Once you fill your inventory, you can't pick up anything else. And because half the game is all about picking up shit, you know, you're going to run out of space really easily. So you're able to store these items in the warehouses in the towns, which is really cool. Because when you die, you can still access them later. But because the warehouses aren't in every single town, like, you'll come across a town like, oh, this shit, thank God, I got to get rid of this stuff. Where's the warehouse? Shit.
It's funny that you compare it to Diablo, because Diablo had the same inventory problems where it was like, after about 20 hours of the game, you had a full set of equipment, and half your inventory was just armor that you'd like to switch to.
I can't carry anymore.
Yeah.
Not enough meta. But it's that, and that stuff gets annoying really fast. Like, and the fact that you have to manage your hunger is, you know, I understand it's part of the game
mechanic.
But it's like, I'm kind of over that now. And in the year 2008, do you really want to put up with hunger? You know, do you really want to manage your guy's fullness level? It's like, it makes it like a timer. Like, you can only move so much before your character becomes hungry and then
Let's
dies.
Let's take 1/8 of The Sims and just put it in this game.
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Well, The Sims took that from
Rogue,
this
yeah.
Thing.
The Sims, yeah.
Let's take 1/8 of the Rogue
and put in The Sims. And then add some stupid-ass gibberish. Yeah, I mean, there's something alluring about it, something that's really fun about it, just going through every single time and seeing how they change the layouts of the levels and seeing what loot you picked up and then, you know, seeing, hey, I dropped this fucking awesome-ass sword that I died with and I dropped it. Will they let me pick it up at the very beginning of the game? Because, yeah, it's possible that when you start over, like, the first weapon that you pick up was that one that you dropped way down in floor, like, 7,000. So, you know, it mixes things up well like that. The the world, it doesn't... Well, the world... I'm sorry. The world changes around you to reflect all the stuff that you've done. So, while you get reset, while you lose all your items and you lose all your money and you lose your experience levels and you start back from level one, the whole world around you has changed to reflect what you've done somewhat. So, for example, this is an example that I told Al once over IM. This stupid bitch blinded me. I walked up to her and she was like, I can make you see amazing things. Would you like to? I said, yes, okay.
She flashed with a tease.
Yeah, I said, yes.
Got blind.
Let me just remove my pantaloons.
Yeah, so I said, yes, and the guy proceeded to take off his hat and his shirt. No. And then so she goes, bam, and like the screen goes black, and it was like, you've been blinded. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And so I keep on adventuring, and then I die. And I come back to the first area, and that girl's still wandering around, and I'm trying to avoid her, but there are two people in the screen, so I want to talk to one person. But I accidentally ended up talking to her again, and I'm like, oh, fuck, no. And this time she didn't even give me a choice. She was just like, oh, you were blinded by me? I'm sorry, that was my twin sister. Let me make it up to you. Bam! And I'm blind again. I'm like, god damn it.
What a bitch.
And so I die again somewhere later. And I start over again, and I meet these two guys in that same forest, and they're like, this stupid girl, I was trying to talk to her, and she blinded me. Ah! And so I'm like,
with all the blind.
Yeah. So basically, like, you can see the pattern here. The world is changing to reflect what's happened, but, like, even though you get reset. And so I finally, in this one town that I come across, I see her cornered by those two guys. Oh, this is after I died again and started over. But, you know, she's cornered by these two guys saying, like, this girl, she blinded me. She blinded me. And then she's like, help, somebody help me. And, you know, I just left her alone for, like, the next seven playthroughs, which, yeah, means that I died seven times. But, I left her alone for the next seven playthroughs. And then the eighth one, I'm like, I got sick of dying all the time and going through the same floors. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me just see what happens if I decide to help her. And so those guys turned on me and I killed them. And then she ends up being a really powerful ally.
Oh, how about that?
But not before blinding you first again. So I saved her.
What's your MO?
I don't know what the hell was going on, but I saved her. She's like, oh my god, you saved me. Thank you so much. Even though I blinded you, you were kind enough to save me. Let me join your party. I'm like, okay, yes. She's like,
and
okay,
blind you.
We'll travel together. And just to, just to make things more exciting, or she said, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was like, just to make things more exciting, bam, and I'm blinded again. And I'm like, the text at the bottom of the screen says, she blinded you, yet she still joins your party. And I'm like, what the hell? And then, like, after I waited for a little bit, the blindness went away and she joined me. But, like, she, you know, she would hit enemies really hard. She would blind them as well. And she actually ended up being a very good ally. So if the bitch blinds you, save her anyway. I guess that's the moral of the story.
It's like elementary school. Yeah. It's just like the girl likes you and punches you in the ass.
Yeah. Pulls out
it'd
your boy
be funny
hair.
If she like blinded you in the middle of the dungeon.
Oh yeah, she hasn't done that. She also doesn't ask you for food. You meet some guy who claims to be your brother, but he's this fat, slobbish, like stupid looking dude who's powerful, but he's really annoying. And like every 5 minutes, he's like, "God, I'm starving. Can I have a rice ball?" And it's like, I don't have any rice balls. I need it for myself. So he's asking for that shit. But the thing is, you get hungry after quite a long while. He gets hungry, like, after, like, one or two rooms. He's like, God, I'm starving. And I'm like, you asshole. Stop, like, holding me down. So eventually he just goes, I give up. I can't move anymore. And I leave him there.
We gotta save the world. No, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
I'm gonna die down here. So the fuck what?
So the fuck what?
Throw me a rice ball, man. Throw me a rice ball.
Throw me a rice ball.
I got a question.
The fuck kind of game is this?
There's a game for the Wii and PS2, I think. Baroque. That's a roguelike.
Oh, I heard of it, but I didn't know anything about its gameplay. So maybe...
Because I got an email from Amazon, and they were like, check out this game since you bought Wii games from our website. Right. And then one of the lines was like, learn secrets about the environment after you die.
Maybe it is the roguelike. I don't know.
And I was like, what? The story changes because you die?
Sounds like the hippie expansion.
The hippie expansion.
And there was another game.
Patchouli.
Shoot, I don't remember what the game was, but it was out for, like, Wii and PS2, and the PS2 version was much cheaper, and I'm like, well, shit, maybe if I'm interested, I'll get the PS2
version. What company made it?
I don't remember. I'd have to look at my Amazon email. I think it was another Amazon email. Let me take a look at that for a second.
Okay. I'll finish up the subscription while you look for that, but the gameplay is jarring to some. It makes it look like a Zelda-type game where you're just running around and slashing your sword, but every move, every single thing that you do, this is kind of like Orcs and Elves. Every single thing you do counts as a, quote, turn, end quote. So, if you just sit the DS there and don't do anything, neither will the monsters. Nothing will happen. You'll just kind of walk in place. If you you press forward, then everything on the board will move. If you equip something, everything on the board will move. If you swing your sword and hit air, everything on the board will move or do something else. So, it only responds to all of your movements. So that makes it that makes it kind of rigid, but it also gives you some strategy for here's an enemy that has a bow and arrow standing at the end of the room, and he can hit me, and I can't hit him because I don't have any arrows at this point. So how can I maneuver around such that he can't hit me? You know, so if you move diagonally one space, you know, he'll have to turn to shoot you, and I think him turning and moving counts as one turn as well. So
you can kind of out-maneuver him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it becomes sort of a game like that. I mean, at the end, this is a very, very niche game. I like it a lot because I appreciate what it's trying to do, but I think its annoyances are really annoying. And in the end, it's like, unless I come across something much more cool down the line, like I just came across this jar that lets you put together two items and make a combo out of them. Like, unless I see more stuff like that, it's going to be hard to really recommend it because it's so niche. And it's like, unless you really, really like these old types of games, it's one of those things that you should avoid. It's not one of those things that's going to change your mind about the genre, you know?
Right.
So, but that said, I mean, it is a remake of an old Super NES game that never came out in the States. So if you're like one of those collector types who are just like, I never got to play this game, I mean, you might as well just give it a shot. But
and you didn't want to talk about the games you were playing there.
No, I always do that. I always do that. But Al, did you find the game's name?
Yeah, the game that I was talking about was Obscure.
Obscure, that's it. Okay.
That's a survival horror game.
Okay.
That's the one with the teenagers in the school, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be inspired by teenage horror flicks.
It's out for PC already, right?
It's out for
welcome.
Everything.
What the fuck?
But it's like $30 for Wii and $20 for PS2.
But I mean, I think it was out for PC a long time ago. Slungs, back when you were doing the whole guess this screenshot game, you took a screenshot from that game and it was already out there, right?
That's actually why I know
it, because it's obscure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but I've also been playing Phoenix. Oh, one more thing before I stop. I have been playing Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword for the DS.
Oh, you have?
And it's fantastic. It's really good.
Nice.
All right. Good.
I haven't been fully into it because I've been playing it on the subway while listening to stuff, so I haven't really gotten the full presentation experience from it. I haven't been listening to him going rah, rah, and slicing people across the heart. But there's also something after you defeat a certain amount of enemies in an area, there's supposed to be some kind of noise, after which you shout into the DS microphone, which makes you look really stupid on the train. But I didn't know about this. Until it was too late. So I'm in chapter 4 now, and I haven't been doing that. You're supposed to get some bonus item by doing that, and I haven't been doing it because I've been on the train and I've been listening to other stuff in my headphones. So I missed the noise. But it's definitely so far a lot easier to succeed at than the original Ninja Gaiden on Xbox. And I don't necessarily know if it's because I don't think they necessarily dumbed it down, but the stylus slashes are so easy to pull off because it's so natural that you could just keep on hacking away, and it's really hard for the enemies to kind of draw a bead on you, because the instant that you slash on an enemy, even if he's across the screen, Ryu will kind of zoom over. He'll kind of leap over and then start hitting them. So it's kind of hard for them to set up and then try to hit you back because you're so fast.
You're just continuously going, and then to the other enemy.
Exactly. And that part takes very little skill to it, but if you actually want to dispatch your enemies with any sense of efficiency, then that takes some kind of strategy or skill, you know, like just making sure that you don't go apeshit insane scratching on your screen, you know. you want to, like, work on one enemy and then go to another and push him back.
That's where whole my DS.
Yeah, exactly. Get a screen protector. But, yeah, it's just really fun, and it's... I think the way that they've made it a little bit easier makes it more inviting for someone who's like, whoa, Ninja Gaiden's too hard. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. Or, like, even a casual gamer who's like, I got my DS for Brain Age, but I want to try out one of these new things. I want to try out one of these, you know, so-called hardcore games. What's a good game? And someone can easily recommend Ninja Gaiden without having them be frustrated stuck at the first stage.
I would recommend Sheeran.
Yeah. Sheeran, no, Jesus.
You want a hardcore game? That's it.
Yeah, play Sheeran. But it's so natural, and the action's so fluid and smooth. It doesn't look as good as everyone's like, oh, it looks amazing. Well, it looks as good as a pre-rendered game can look. I mean, there's only so it's only so well that a game on the DS can look when you're pre-rendering an environment. And it does look good, but you can still tell that it's kind of dithered, kind of pixelated here and there. But it's okay because, like, it moves really fluidly, and it performs well, and the gameplay just works. And even the boss battles, which are in full 3D, run without a frame rate hitch. They're kind of easy, actually. But it's just a great game. It's like... It's as God of War is to the PSP, it's, you know, that's what this is to the DS. I mean, I think if... Al, you've been playing Phantom Hourglass, right? So,
yeah.
It's basically... this is what I hear. It's basically that in Ninja Gaiden clothing. So if anybody was worried about how the game would work with just a touchscreen, it works.
Yeah, after playing Phantom Hourglass, any game that is well done with stylus-only controls in an environment like that, it's great. Like, I didn't think that Phantom Hourglass was going to be as good as it really is control-wise.
Right. Oh, and the one thing is that you do use one of the buttons, but it's block button. So every single button on the DS is block. so you'll have no trouble finding the button, except for start and select, which brings up your inventory. And, you know, that works too. So, but if you have a DS and you like action games, I mean, I'm only halfway through, and already it's just kind of like, it's a no-brainer. It's absolutely a no-brainer. Get it. Like, even if you see it for a more expensive price, just get it.
I don't own a DS. Should I still get it?
Yes.
Okay.
So that when you do own a DS, you'll have it.
Look at this game I got. It's awesome.
Stop all the blah. Okay, we're going to move on to the news. News, and we'll go really quick again. I say that every week. We don't end up going quick, but I'll try to do it this time. Rock Band for Wii will have no downloadable songs.
Boo!
Am I surprised? Boo! No, I'm not surprised. Thanks to the fucking hard drive. This is coming from Chris Kohler on Game Life. He says that much like the PS2 version of the popular music game, what's on the disc is what you're stuck with. Get a 360 today or a PS3.
Yeah, why not?
Any thoughts besides what the fuck are they thinking?
I really don't care.
Objection. I mean, yeah, in my sense, I don't care either just because I'm in the 360 version, but I kind of do care for the Wii's, like, sense, just because if you have a hard drive, use it. I mean, isn't, like, Nintendo kind of killing themselves where all this downloadable content is becoming very reliable on, like, how good your game is in a way? Just like Rock Band. I played... my friend's PS2 version, and it was great because his drum set worked, and that was the only reason I liked it. But past that, I mean, it was just okay. What do you want to play?
Like all the songs that you.
I guess we'll play that OK Go song again.
You'll play it again, yeah, because like you're stuck with the 45 songs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad selection of songs, and the song list of the original song list of Rock Band is actually really good. It's just that. You just kind of have to go past that after sinking many, many, many hours into the game, and you do that through downloadable content, and if there's no downloadable content, well, it's like, where do I go from here?
Right.
Sure, to another instrument, but you're still playing the same songs.
Right. Go buy Rock Band 2.
Rock Band 2.
I mean, 2. Like, not only that, it's like, this is another example of why Wii is more for casual gamers, because hardcore gamers know, I'm going to fucking get a game that has downloadable content.
Right, right.
That's how I roll.
That's how I roll, son.
And, and you know, here it goes. The Wii is just trying to keep up with that commodity, you know, offer a game that all the other systems have and have done well with it. Mm-hmm. And,
it's
you know,
gimping
okay,
it.
Well, but we'll give you the game. We'll give you the game. But what about that? No, we'll give you the game. But no, we'll give you
just
the game.
Be happy with what, I mean, just be grateful for what we give you, ungrateful twerps.
Exactly. Yeah, you have the game. But what about like 360? What? We gave you the game. What more do you want?
You could have an extra pair of drumsticks.
So you know what I think? I think it's just because we have been exposed to the delights of downloadable content for this particular type of game. And how much mm-hmm. value it does offer. Because, you know, when you play Rock Band, and say, you know, we have these Rock Band parties, months mm-hmm. and months and months later, the Rock Band parties don't get old because you always mm-hmm. have new material to play. Right. It's kind of like being yeah. a band, and you come out with a new album every year, you always have new material. So when you play live on tour, mm-hmm. you're not playing the same 8 songs over and over and over again to the same people. But back...
sounds like a personal experience.
Well, yeah, kind of. But back before we had 360, we had Guitar Hero, which had the same yep. 50 songs, something like that, or 35, 40 songs. And we were content with that. But mm-hmm. now it's like, you know...
We've been spoiled.
Not even spoiled. It's just you've been exposed to something that's so much better, and you wish that everyone else would adopt that instead of taking a step backwards.
I think that's where the competition factor came so strongly
in Guitar Hero,
that we
right.
only had the same songs. So like
we practiced them over and over again.
Let's mm-hmm. play the hell out of them and compete against each other.
And five
sure,
star,
why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if it weren't for the fact that there's such a ceiling for 100%ing the song, first of all, even five starring it, and then yeah. getting a certain amount of points, and then 100%ing it, and then full comboing it. You know, there's such an emphasis on that. If that wasn't there, then Guitar Hero would have gotten older quickly for hardcore players.
Oh, yeah.
Like
mm-hmm,
it definitely,
sure.
like if it was just like kind of if the note tracks basically were as, and I shouldn't say easy because some of the Rock Band note tracks do get really hard, but that's mostly because the guitar isn't as good and because the timing is more strict.
Precise.
Yeah.
Right.
Like other than that, like the note charts are kind of easy. So if you tried to just compete with that, then there's no impetus for keeping on playing, because like I remember when I first went through the guitar career in Rock Band, I was basically kind of sitting there really bored. Like I actually did not have that much fun playing it by myself. Like the drums, yeah, because the drums were new, but playing the guitar tracks by myself just to get through the game and get all the songs, I'm like, I really wish they'd just give me a cheat code, because this is not fun at all. I'm not having fun with Rock Band.
Yeah,
and then
I,
when
I
people
felt the same way.
Yeah,
I
and
didn't
then
even
when,
finish it.
And then when I started the drums, and then when people came over, they're like, this is how you play Rock Band. But if you don't if you don't have any friends, Rock Band's the worst game in the world, because you're like I just spent
everything's the worst game in the world.
No, that's not true. But it's like I just spent $170 on this thing, and well, I don't have anybody to play with. But like,
there's times I was sitting there and I was like, well, you know, my friends can't come over today or whatever, and I still wanted to play with people, and I would play with friends over Xbox Live, and that's still a lot.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah, no, that too. But you still have friends. I'm saying if you really don't, if you're the type of person who's used to just playing Final Fantasy in the basement and don't ever see the light of day, and your skin's like pale white,
gotcha.
And then you're like, I don't have an Xbox Live, friends. I'm just gonna play the guitar track. Oh wait, it's not that fun, you know.
Yeah,
so
you better open Guitar Hero.
Yeah. So in that aspect, with Guitar Hero, I think it had more. Each song had more replayability than do the guitar songs in Rock Band, and that's why I think that downloadable content was so crucial for someone who chose to only pick one instrument, because it's like, well, it's gonna get old soon.
Mm-hmm.
And with Guitar Hero, for example, I could probably buy Guitar Hero on. Let me not even say that example. I haven't downloaded very many songs for Guitar Hero 3, and I'm fine with it. Like I'm completely content with it. I'm like whatever. You know, I've downloaded the Halo 3 song. I downloaded We Three Kings, and I downloaded what's it called? The boss battles for single player.
Tamarillo.
But that's it. Like the new songs have come out, even though sporadically, but they've come out here and there. And I'm just like, eh. I don't care. That's okay. I just want to perfect Calista Dover. I want to perfect one. I want to see how well I can do with this. Whereas with Rock Band, it's like, okay, I'm going to throw a party next month. I need to have new shit. What's new? Let me go look. You know? So,
I kind of think it's hard to use that comparison just because everybody was nuts over Guitar Hero 1, you know, perfecting their scores. But if you kind of compare Rock Band and Guitar Hero 1, I mean, Rock Band's harder, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
The hardest
we got
was Bark at the Moon, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think I have another thought about the whole thing. A lot of the point of Rock Band is just being able to finish the song and have fun with your friends.
Right.
It's not about getting that 100%, that 5-star, unless you're around certain people who do that, which also brings mention to the new material, because say you have the same 45 songs, and say out of those 45 songs, you only know like 12. You know, it's because that comes into a point where a singer is like, well, I don't fucking know this song, so I'm not going to enjoy singing it
if I don't know the words. Yeah.
And
a lot of people... go ahead.
Oh, so in the end, out of those 45 songs, you're really only using a fraction of them. And then you get to the point where it's like, well, you want to do this song again? You want to do this song again?
And so you need to have new stuff cycling in.
Yes, you need to have new stuff cycling in so that you can have the opportunity to continue playing. And I can definitely see on the Wii if it's like, okay, let's do Say It Ain't So Again. Let's do Say It Ain't So Again. You can't even do Buddy Holly, so let's do Say It Ain't So Again.
I mean, I really just wish they would up and figure out a DRM protection for USB hard drives and let people use you. Or, fuck it, if they're going to overcharge you for a Wii hard drive for the USB, just do it then. Just let people have the option at the very least. Or let them use SD cards if you really are that pressed for space, you know? But they don't even let us use SD cards for that. They don't even let us use SD cards to play Virtual Console games directly off the card. And they could easily figure out some protection and link the serial number to the same Wii or something and whatever. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's not... Either that, or
they could sell an external hard drive.
Which is what I just said.
That was he said first.
Said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to you. I was thinking my own thoughts. Fuck you. Stealing my thoughts.
Masturbatory thoughts. Okay, should we move on? Let's move on.
Yeah.
Al, do you wanna summarize this one for us, this Capcom one and the game sales one?
Sure.
Reading it would take a while.
Yeah. Basically, the summary of this is that... from the, I think it was a sales VP or something like that. I can't get to the article.
Christian Svensson.
Yeah, Christian Svensson from Capcom. He was just discussing about how long games stay on shelves sometimes and the philosophy behind just sales propositions and things like that. This is on MTV's multiplayer blog. I don't know if we should go. Well, might as well. http://multiplayerblog.mtv.com.
Yeah, multiplayer blog is all one word.
Yes. /2008/03/26/
deciding
or you just go to gamespot.com/user/MrChupon and click on the link yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay, that'll do it. That's what I was like, oh, I don't know.
Well, the end of the URL is basically deciding the fate of Dante and Phoenix, how Capcom predicts game sales. But there's a hyphen in between every word. That's how the blog post usually goes. Well, actually, you know what? Since I have it in front of me, let me just pull out the main quote. Svensson says that the sales life cycle of a product is shrinking. If a game undersells its first month at retail, it's finished. Often, though, it's quicker. If a game underperforms in its first week, it's more than likely dead on arrival. And then he said that Capcom tries to prevent it by, let's see...
They estimate retail sales.
Right,
and hype.
They just estimate the retail sales and the hype and see how well it'll go. And then they're just conservative with it. And so if it sells through, then they're like, okay, well, you know what? You sold through your entire shipment. Looks like people like it. Let's see. It says, long before the big retailers passed on Phoenix Wright, Capcom had internally predicted its sales cycle. That's the case with every Capcom title. Before Devil May Cry 4 was greenlit for production, Capcom had already assigned its sales projections. Years before the title would even be announced, Capcom had a number. So that's pretty ahead of time. Yeah. I remember, it's funny, they made like a public announcement. If you don't buy the third Phoenix Wright game, we won't be able to bring the DS version to shores on the States.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of like sitting there going, bullshit. You know you're going to bring it through anyways. You just, you know. Yeah. I mean, of course it's their job to like market it that way. But I was just like, you know, bullshit. But, you know, something like Okami, right, which didn't sell well. I mean, but the fact that a game is dead on arrival after week one, how do you guys feel about the validity of that statement? And also, do you, you know, is this news, really?
I think that's bullshit, because if a game comes out and it's rent week, I can't buy it. So then you're telling me that the game is dead on arrival because I want to buy it, but I can't? You know, you got this whole economy shit, a whole bunch of people being conservative, right, although they say the game industry is not being affected by the economic quote-unquote crisis in this country.
Right.
Yeah, is this...
Also, this is not talking about, like, other conditionals, such as, is it opening during the holidays?
Right.
Is it, you know, coming
Yeah, they're talking about standard weeks.
I mean, like, standard if a game is dead on arrival, that's just a stupid estimation, because why are businesses slower after January? Well, because they fucking spend so much on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck? You know, you're gonna kill a game just because it didn't sell well January 30th? Fuck you. You know? That's my opinion.
Well, then it's not that they're gonna kill it. They're saying that basically, oh, it didn't do well, therefore it's not going to do well. And that's just their prediction.
And they're not going to ship as much to the stores.
Okay, then that does kind of count as killing it. But
is this just from Capcom's personal experience?
This is
kind of like a reflection of the gaming industry itself.
I think it sounds like he's talking about the industry, but I'm assuming it's from Capcom's own experience.
Yeah.
Well,
They gave an experience on there. They talked about Phoenix Wright, and they said that when Phoenix Wright, the original one, was released, you know how it was so hard to find? It was hard to find because nobody ordered it except GameStop. And then once
people
started
buying it... I actually got that at Virgin
Megastore. Yeah, see, once people started catching wind that this game was selling, then they said, Christian Svensson said that Toys R Us put in an order for like 30,000 copies, but it was like 3 months later.
Right. But I think that this demonstrates the long tail that some of these games have. I mean, first of all, you got to realize that games are so expensive that who's going to always be out to buy it on day one? Whereas a movie theater ticket, even though it's overpriced today, it's still $12.
Mm-hmm.
And even actually, I think this rings more true in movies, that first week underperformance is dead on arrival, because usually with movies, I feel like, because it's so inexpensive, because it's relatively inexpensive, and because it's 2 hours of your time, and because you know, you don't need a video game console to play a movie, you know, in the theater, it's like whoever really wants to see a movie on day one will have seen it, and then like it just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks.
And I think that there's a big media focus on opening weekends and opening weeks of movies. They blow that shit so far out of proportion that everybody relies on that.
Right.
Well, there's a difference there, too. I mean, like, when you're talking about movies, they have to rely on the movie houses keeping them and paying to keep
to keep the reels
in
there.
Their theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so it's not like GameStop is going to say, well,
these games didn't sell, let's throw them away.
Or sell them back.
Right.
Exactly. Right. It's like after week two, it's, you know, your game rated as good as Geely, so we're just going to
play Geely. Oh, Geely.
So, no, it's not like that at all. I mean, like, you know, I think within a week, you cannot tell if a game is going to be a bestseller or not. I mean, really, it's a conditional.
I mostly agree with what all of you guys are saying, but before I move on, I will say this one thing, that the mainstream, I think it's hard to judge the mainstream market as opposed to what we're talking about. Like, a lot of us play games that are still considered more niche, not the way it used to be, but more like, okay, well, we play video games. We are gamers. We play games, so we're going to look at something like a Phoenix Wright, or we're going to look at something like a I'm trying to find another, like Vikings, or we're going to look at something like not as close to the vest, but still kind of niche-y. Someone help me out here. Not something like God of War or Devil May Cry, because those became really popular, but like something
like Okami.
Okami, maybe. LA. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Or versus the guy who buys Madden every single year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the games aren't exposed enough, and that's, I mean, it's all about publishing and exposing your game. And Jaws right. has proven that, where it can be the shittiest Jaws! Game in the world. It can be the shittiest game in the world, but as long as you show it enough, people are going to buy it.
Yeah,
yeah. 50 Cent, I mean, Bulletproof.
50 Cent Bulletproof is getting a sequel because it sold over a million copies. You know, uh-huh. and what are the games out there? Like, not to say that these games are bad, because they're not, but Gears of War, Call of Duty. The mainstream likes shooting things in the face, right? So those are the games, I think, those are the games, I think, that are that do actually get affected by Svensson's statement here, that if a game doesn't sell well in week one, that's dead on arrival, because these are the types of games that are marketed to the type of market who will rush out and buy it on day one, you know?
I think that I think that's a little more designated to the hardcore gamers, because I don't think at like 80% of your Madden guy would even pay attention to what kind of genre or even know what he's looking for.
They don't even know how to spell
that,
genre.
that may be...
What's that? They have a
C, Q...
Apostrophe
well,
Q.
The reason why I'm saying that though, is because the way that they, these games are marketed on television and all of stuff, like the way that they are presented is just appealing to that type right. of person. That's why I think yep. even though they're not necessarily quote hardcore end quote, mm-hmm. that, you know, they'll run on a bite. Like the guy who works yeah. at the guy who works at the UPS store, who's like, you know, talking about Gears of War. You know, I could probably ask him a question about Okami. He's like, is that some comic book game? I don't understand. What is that? But, like, you tell him Gears of War, and, oh, shit, I bought that on day one because yep. I saw the commercials for it, and it's got to be great, you know? So
I like the song that was playing in the background.
Oh, jeez. Let's move on quick. Let's bust through all these. I'm gonna bust through all these that are like just kind of short ones really quickly.
Sure.
And you can shout in. 15-year-old not killed for not passing game controller or game or something. Some asshole shot his friend or shot his neighbor because he wouldn't give him a game.
Yep.
Retarded. Well, thoughts while I move
population
on.
Control.
Population control.
That's it.
Population yeah, but that's controlling control. The that's wrong it. Person. Population controlling the good guy, not the bad guy. Dracula X.
They all got to go sometime.
Oh, God. Dracula X hits virtual console in April, but only for Japan.
Awesome.
So far, but we haven't determined whether or not it'll come to the States. This will be the one TurboGrafx CD engine game that I keep on my virtual console and move everything else out because I've been waiting for this for a long
time. Move everything else out?
Yeah, if I have to.
It's only like 200 points.
No. I'm saying when I run out of space and I have to download something else.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I want this now. Thoughts while I move on? Too late.
Does anybody even on PSP. Pay attention to virtual console anymore?
Yeah.
A lot of virtual console releases have been really shitty lately.
Yeah, because they're focusing on WiiWare.
Yeah.
Which annoys me.
WiiWare!
But let's see.
WiiWare!
Xbox, this is interesting. Sandy Duncan, the man who set up shop. This is from, oh yes, this is from our favorite, Susan
Arendt
of Game Life. Sandy Duncan, the man who set up Xbox in Europe, says that consoles, as we know them, will be dead in 5 to 10 years. The way Duncan sees it, the business model for game hardware is simply too risky and high cost to last much longer, especially given the rapid development of technologies such as video recorders.
We.
In fact, in 5 to 10 years, I don't think you'll have any box at all under your TV. Most of this stuff will be virtualized as web services by your content provider. Thoughts about the
broadband.
Yeah.
penetration.
Penetrate.
What the hell?
Broadband penetration. This is. I mean, honestly, do you really think that in 5 to 10 years there's going to be enough penetration of broadband service that this is going to be viable? I don't think so.
I think with the regulation of the federal regulation of digital cable, you know, they're mandating all that stuff.
They're just mandating that you have a cable box.
Is it? I thought that all the lines had to be digital now because they're reserving that analog space for government for other use.
They are, but the analog space is basically just airwaves.
Right, and I mean, who's to say that you can't use those cable lines somewhere down the line for data, more data that's more complex than just streaming video.
You can. It's just that you have to coordinate with cable companies
as much as we like to make fun of how much cable broadband has penetrated, he's saying in 10 years this could be a possibility. 10 years ago, I was still using a modem until I got into college. It was unheard of to have high speed in the house for me. And you know, right now, how many people are on Xbox Live? You know, and I know that's not that great, that's not that huge of a number in comparison to the population in the United States, but we're still talking about the number of people who play games will probably have access to that amount of broadband, and you don't have to worry about the rest because that'll come.
Ten years is like a very, very long time in technology. So.
Mm-hmm. But I'm all right, I'll go one step further, and I'll go past penetration, and I'll go to speeds. Now, in 10 years, I think that speeds will probably improve to a point where this type of thing is viable, but it's going to take a while. Because right now, I think, like, the fastest, most affordable, I think, and this is probably just a shameless plug in at the same time, at least in the tri-state area, is between Fios and Optimum Online, because Optimum Online will give you up to 30 megabits per second as a download, and Fios gives you a 30 megabit per second download as well. In order to really, really make something like downloading all of your big 5 to 10 gig games really feasible without having to turn it on and go make a sandwich and then eat it and then go take a shit and then take a shower and then take a nap and then come back and then your game is downloaded 5 minutes later, you know, I think you're going to have to go into the 50, 75 meg per second download.
Okay, but I mean, I don't think that's really fair anymore. I mean, because I've actually, like, I used to say the same thing. But now that I've used Steam, it's like, you know what? I would have taken a trip down to the store with that same amount of time that it took me to download this game. Instead, I don't need to go to the store. I can go to the gym. I can get some work done. I can do all this other stuff without spending. And if you live in a place that's suburban, you have to get out in the car, spend the gas money, go to the store, pick the thing up, and then come back with and you know. So maybe it's a little longer. But it's just more convenient, and you can do something else without having to go to the store. So, you know, having
that's with one game though. What if you're in a maximized situation where you want to get three games, say it's 15 gigs, if it's 5 gigs a piece, and you know it's not going to be 5 gigs because that's like the size of an Xbox game.
That's okay because I've downloaded the entire Orange Box. They were all going at like 800 kb a second at the same time.
Okay. But so, you left your computer going. That's your computer. We're talking about like your TV, your console, whatever it is that is not a set-top box that's giving you digital signal and whatnot. It could possibly have an effect on other things that you do in the home since it's not just, oh, well, I'll leave my computer off and go do something else.
Why can't you just why can't you just leave the TV on? Or, I mean, why can't you leave it off? Why can't you, say, switch to your DVD player while you're waiting for that thing to download?
What if you don't watch DVDs?
Huh?
What if you don't watch DVDs? What if it affects the TV signal? I mean, we don't know. I'm just saying, like, in this particular situation, what if there is some kind of a cross where if you're going to do this type of heavy downloading, it could affect your ability to watch TV since it's not a separate device?
Right, but I mean, this is 5 to 10 years we're talking about here. I mean, I think that, like, with the advances that we've made in the past 10 years, I mean, this is not... For example, I think Steam was downloading Prey yesterday for me while I was browsing the web. Not an issue.
Well, I know. That could also be because it may have taken longer. But although browsing the web doesn't really take up much bandwidth in the first place. If you wanted to, say, download Prey and...
Well, I'm just having trouble, like, really agreeing with you because all these things are such small things where it's like, I mean, the convenience factor of it all... I mean, you can choose not to do it. But it's going to be to a point where, like, in 10 years down the line, it's like, hey, look, I could do this if I wanted to. And, yeah, maybe I won't be able to watch TV, but I wouldn't have been able to watch TV anyway if I was going out to the store.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from.
That's what I'm saying. Just... And, of course, I totally agree that you have to split the bandwidth. And some of it might be, you know, some of it might interfere with the TV signal. But, again, I think that in the future, you know, 10 years down the line – people will have figured a way to make it more efficient and or people will become more accepting of the technology because, you know, as we're moving forward, people are using iTunes and all this stuff. They're integrating themselves. Even fucking David, who's scared of technology. Well, he's not, but, you know, I'm making fun of him. You know, he's using iTunes and all that shit. And it's like they're going to become more accepting of the caveats and the compromises that you have to make because these compromises in the end don't end up being that serious. To warrant saying, you know, there's still people, of course, I know that want to have the game in their hands. I still like having a game in my hands, usually. But I mean... But like when it comes down to a point where it's like, well, here's the option that you have, I do think that Ethan and I were actually talking about this the other day because he actually wrestled himself free from work and we had dinner. But he, like, we were talking about how ridiculous it was when people say PC games are dying. He actually came out and said console gaming is dying. And I was kind of like, I don't know about that. And he said, okay, maybe it's not dying, but it's changing. It's merging with PC gaming. And then this article kind of comes out, and it's kind of the same thing, you know. And I don't know that I agree with his assertion that there will be no box under your TV for gaming. You know, maybe they make the cable box bigger, I think. At the very least, they have to do something because I agree that it, you know, putting it all in the same box. But okay, in the chat it says in the future there will be robots. I agree. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, maybe there won't be just a single cable box, but you know, it'll be less intrusive. So I don't know. That's how I see this, and that's how come I just wanted to pull this out because I really PC gaming is dying, console gaming is dying. How about that one? Go into the forums and yell about that one.
Everybody's dying.
Everybody's
dying. In 5 to 10 years, we'll be 5 to 10 years closer to death anyway.
I really hate how they're saying this. So why don't they just say, like, things are changing? That's all, you know?
Yeah, I don't think the manufacturers will even, like, allow that to happen. Or not the manufacturers, but, like, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. They make... Won't it be easier for them just to keep things the way they are?
Control. Yeah, they can try to. I mean, it really just depends on how much power they have versus the market. You know, it's all up to the people. Mm-hmm. I think that I'd say that if they were smart about it, they already are. I mean, like Xbox Live Arcade already. You know, but it's like, here's a quick example before we move on. Like Creative Labs is the one who makes like Tony was saying earlier. Creative Labs is the one who makes sound cards for computers. Right. Now, motherboards for computers have become increasingly adept at integrated sound so that you don't have to buy a separate sound card. So it's like, great, my whole business has been based around making sound cards, but these things that come with the motherboards are getting so much better. Shit, what I do now? Well, Creative didn't cry about it. They said, you know what? Well, we're going to adapt, and we're going to start making software that does what our sound card does and works with the integrated chip. So basically, they're adapting. So I think what they're doing with Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network is that they're starting to adapt very slowly. They're not pushing it yet because they're like, well, we don't want to stop selling these machines. But they're adapting to the point where it's like, okay, we planted the seed. We're selling this stuff over the internet. Now as we see the market move forward, we can gauge, do we want to move forward with this or do we want to stay as a console with discs? Because we'll still have the option to offer downloadable stuff because we know it's working right now. The way it is, like, you know, with you download like a gigabyte PlayStation sorry, 600 meg PlayStation game, you know, to your PlayStation hard drive. So it's working so far. Remember what Phil Harrison said? Oh, the PlayStation 4 won't even have discs. And then he's working for Atari now. But that has nothing to do with that.
Phil, why'd you say that? You can go ahead.
You can forget about what I just said. let's see. EA extends. Tony says he adapted a kid last year. EA extends the Take-Two offer again. It's the same thing that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. EA saying, we want to buy you. Take-Two saying, fuck you. And then EA saying, well, we're going to buy you for more. Hey, shareholders, guess what? We're going to pay you a lot more for each share if you let us buy them. And then Take-Two's like, no, just wait till... Wait till Grand Theft... Wait till Grand Theft Auto comes out. Please. Our stock share will go up once Grand Theft Auto comes out. Please just wait.
Lock the doors!
Yeah. Or may not, yeah.
So it's the same story again. There's one more quickly before I did too much news, so we're just going to...
Can I just say, why can't EA make games themselves?
Zing! But let's just do one more quick one before we get to the so-called topic.
The Kanagawa Rampage.
Huh? Oh, shit, I closed that one. I was going to do the Gearbox one. Oh, we'll do the Kanagawa Rampage one. Let me open it up again. Apparently... some dude went crazy and killed an old dude and then connected it somehow to Ninja Gaiden. And then, like...
I read the story. Let me give a little paraphrase on this. This kid decided that he was going to, like, kill his sister and some people at elementary school, but then decided against that and went in some random house and killed some 72-year-old dude.
What the fuck?
Nice.
And then...
because he lived too long. Fuck that.
Then he went to a mall and started stabbing people. He, like, stabbed, like, 8 people.
What the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't want to kill his sister. He wanted to attack his sister in the school. But then he decided to just go and kill some old dude. And then 4 days later, he went to a shopping center and stabbed 8 people. One of them died.
Jesus Christ.
And all this time, I think, well, not all this time, but they said that when he was arrested, he had a copy of Ninja Gaiden.
Oh,
Dragon
come on.
Like
I hate
yeah,
that.
He also had a fucking dick in his pants.
It's just
what the
like,
fuck?
It's just like, you could go to a whatever and shoot however many people, but if you ever played a game in your life, well, that guy owned a Sega Genesis, and he was playing Shining Force 13 years ago. This must be lit.
No, wait. He's got long sideburns. If you get long sideburns, you will become a homicidal maniac.
Just like Ryu. Ryu Hayabusa. So,
imagine if he had Barbie like Horse him. Adventures in his bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Yosuke Hayabusa.
What if he had an Atari game in his bag?
Combat.
Like all of that
fucking
wild.
No. If
wow,
he had, like a Barbie
right
doll
from the beginning.
In his bag. But here's
it's
what,
my sister's, I swear.
Here's how they responded. Yosuke Hayashi, who I actually interviewed on Wednesday, he came to the Nintendo store. To launch the game, so I had a small interview with him that's on the site. I'll talk about that later. But
the side of your face was on Kotaku?
And yeah, my face is on Kotaku. Hayashi said, not to me, but to the news over in Japan, there's always going to be a motive for everything that happens. There's always a reason and a motive for a way a person acted. And in this case, we are almost a party that has to react to a situation that obviously we didn't expect would be triggered by our game. Whoever has seen this connection in the news and media, we hope they know what the true reason. What the truth is behind why this person did this, and that it's not connected or directly related to our game. And thank God that someone who's behind the game came out and said, like, look, news assholes, just make sure that you don't say it's because of us, because it's not.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Thank you.
Because he could have been carrying a purple fucking dildo. I mean, like, what the fuck? The fuck is going on with people? You irresponsible reporting there.
The media should not be the ones answering the questions or defining the reasons why this incident happened. I want to believe that whoever is watching the news has their own judgment of what went on. What I saw just now is more of a message to the media. Obviously, there are victims here. The people died and their families, so hopefully they don't see this as me trying to defend our company or our product. That's just my message from me to the media. The media can report on these tragedies, but they just shouldn't assume or lead into a question that doesn't have a definitive answer.
Mm-hmm. And to quote Chris Rock, whatever
just
happened
being
to crazy.
Yeah.
People can't be crazy
people
no
can't
more.
Be crazy no more!
That tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger.
All right, let's move on to the main topic. And then blah, 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 blah. All right, Al is very fortunate to come across this topic and lent his wisdom to us, and so.
Well, I have to give credit to a friend of mine who told me about this article.
Okay.
So I told him that we're going to talk about it on the podcast. He said, "Awesome,
word, son." Who?
Old guy I used to work with. Old guy, a guy I used to work with at my job.
Old guy.
Old guy.
Oh, you're doing them a great service right now.
Sorry.
And this article is on 1UP.com. It's by Nadia Oxford, who's a freelancer. You can also read her shit. I think it's on Rip 10 or Crispy Gamer, one of those two. Anyway, so she wrote an article called "You Gonna Finish That? Why We Don't Finish Games Anymore," which is very pertinent to me. And I think Al, yeah. So one of the reasons that the first one she cites is can't game, working. I think that's the biggest reason for all of us, especially Evan.
Everybody's getting older. Mm-hmm. We never have the time anymore that we used to. I remember those days, like the day I beat Lunar in 3 days straight. And the day that I stayed up like 24 hours to play another game. And then some other day that I had so much time to play games. Now, I'd be lucky if I had an hour.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the funny thing. I don't know necessarily that it's working, but or just growing up, period, or as opposed to what kind of job you hold. Because, I mean, there are people who run websites that they're just like Best Buy employees. They have time to run their entire website and play a lot of shit. But you've got a long commute.
Driving commute, too.
Driving commute, so you can't play portable games. Ethan hasn't played games for a while just because he's freaking, you know, working his ass off like 27/8 instead of 24/7. Tony, you're studying for exams. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of my time is spent traveling, you know, and also getting...
What about me?
You? That's what I want to ask. So, have you found yourself having trouble finishing games because of work or school or whatever?
I currently... there was a time I had two jobs. Actually, three jobs if you count Talk Xbox, which was probably the most time-consuming.
Right.
And then schoolwork on top of that. And I still have time to finish my games.
Right.
Maybe I'm just dedicated, or it's just the type of person that you are. But when you have a reviewing job, it's you know, play it like mad until you beat it
right.
And review it.
Also, I think you have the sleeping habits of a brick.
Yeah. Well, I was working Chick-fil-A. I was working part-time. I was working EB Games. Now I'm just working EB Games, and I'm working Talk Xbox and balancing schoolwork at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Just basically, it's you want to finish games, then you know, have fun having getting all of 4 hours of sleep, like I did.
Right.
You know, just today, so I could wake up and be on this podcast here, and have to deal with this PayPal settlement now. Once I'm finished with whatever I'm doing, bam, I'm right on Viking again.
Right.
So.
And I think that's what you're going to see in college when you go is just like you have two classes a day or three classes a day maybe. You have a class – you have like let's say for me like just for example, I had an accounting class. Accounting class on Monday and Wednesday. So you had an extra day to do the homework assignment if there was a homework assignment other than reading. Okay. You had – and you had like two or three of these a day, and then sometimes you would have the entire Friday off. And because there's such a big gap between the classes, if you were a studious student, you will be able to get those assignments done well before the deadline, and you'll have all that time to play games and get drunk, should you so choose. You know, so it's like. I was going to say, well, it's the same thing when I was in school. In high school, I had to go from school from 8 to 3, and then I had to do homework from, like, 3 to 7, and then I had to get to sleep by, like, 11, so that's 4 hours to play games. That's not that much. Plus I have to eat and shit, too. And then, you know, in college, it's the same thing, but thinking about it more, college is more intense, but it's also less in quantity in terms of, like, the amount of time that you have. Because, like I said, two or three classes a day, the classes are 90 minutes long. There's a lot of time in the day that you can kind of sneak in some inappropriate gaming. You know, like, oh, I got to go to class in half an hour. I can squeeze this in, you know.
Yeah, that's actually what my Jimbo on GameSpot, my friend down in Texas, he'll work in the morning, go to class for 3 hours, and then come home. He'll have probably about 45 minutes. He drives all the way home just so he can play 45 minutes of games, and then he leaves and then goes off to class, and then he goes back home and then does homework, and then he has all of 2 hours of play, and he just does it every single day. Right.
GameSpot.com/user/JIMB0.
Yep. Also, I just kind of want to throw this out there for this topic.
Yeah.
MMOs.
Ah.
MMOs. People who play WoW, who play any MMO, would rather pay $15 a month just to continue their, you know, kind of their secondary lifestyle, then pay $60 every week just to play through a game.
Right, right. That's a good point with the pricing as well.
Yeah.
Or get on Second Life for free.
Because to them, it's not about the joy of beating a game like Lost Odyssey, where the very, very, very ending is just where the game kind of ties all together, and it's like, oh my god, this was awesome. But people don't want to play through 50, 60 hours game of you know, worth of game to just kind of get that experience when they can, yeah, I'm raiding, you know, whatever. I'd rather do this right now.
I'd just rather keep on playing the game that I like.
Get my Season 3 gear
right.
or something.
You know? I'd rather play the game that I like, kind of like how I kept on playing Guitar Hero 2 for such a long time.
Yeah.
I
kind of have a pretty good experience just because I hang out with people who play nothing but MMOs right now. They're going to be playing. They're playing Guild Wars, waiting for Warhammer and Age of Conan.
Uh-huh.
And I even bought my friend a 360 just so we could all kind of get into, you know, Call of Duty 4 and, you know, other games that aren't MMOs.
Right.
and it just didn't happen.
Right.
It didn't happen the way I wanted it to, and it's primarily because they don't want to spend, you know, money, or they want to go to their parents and say, hey, can I, you know, bum 20, 40 bucks, whatever, to get a game. It's just, nah, I'd rather do this.
Gamefly is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Al?
I was going to say they go into that into detail with long games and games that aren't really rewarding.
Is it the second one? Is it called Too Much Too Little? Is it
Too Much Too Little is about
length. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's take Too Much Too Little then. Let's see. It's a short paragraph, so I'll read it. Most games today offer hours and hours of side quests, unlockable levels, and endless collectathons, many of which offer extra rewards beyond the game's standard ending. Fans and critics both scrutinize the time it takes to complete games and then proceed to fume if a title does not breach 30 hours. The collective reviews for Heavenly Sword, for example, portray a pretty solid action game that's repeatedly penalized on one factor: it's too short. On the other hand... On the other hand, games can easily become too big and cumbersome, demanding gamers to invest hours in genres that they'd previously relied on for quick fun. Unknown, more hours for a determined completionist to reset all-important 100%. So I think she's kind of going there like, Super Mario Brothers, you could finish it in like an hour. Super Mario Galaxy, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like 20 hours.
So is the length of a game, I think this is probably one of my biggest factors, that the length of the game ties into the first factor of working for me.
Yeah.
Because like I fit like all the games that I've been reviewing for GameSpot, mostly until I had to do Bomberman Land, were short. You know, all the virtual console games were old school games. Dragon Quest Monsters, yeah, that was pretty long. That took me like 4 days to review, and that was like a total of 30 hours. 5 days, I think, even. Bomberman Land took me like 16 hours, and it was a trudge. And now I'm playing Phoenix Wright, you know, just for myself. And I'm on the last chapter already. I've been playing it only for about a week, maybe a week and a half. Not because it's a short game per se, hour wise, but because the experience kind of mimics. It's really tough to say. Like the experience that a Phoenix Wright game gives you is it moves faster, because it's based on examining and then talking to people, and then when you go into court, you just have to make sure you choose the right thing. You're not looking in nooks and crannies for secret power ups.
You can hear the story, you know, about this kid who fell off a bike and now they're suing or whatever, and blah blah blah. And there's this crazy mystery behind it, and then it's all done within an hour.
It's a lot of reading.
Not 45 minutes, or not 45 minutes, 45 hours, you know, etc.
Right, but even if it is long, like it's because it's reading and because it requires very little. I don't want to say thought or skill, because the game requires a lot of thought. But reading something as opposed to figuring out where you're supposed to aim your character and find secrets and stuff, reading it in deduction is probably like a less intensive process, so you feel like the whole experience is going by quicker. It's kind of like me playing Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. It's pretty intuitive and fluid and simple, and I'm probably going to finish Dragon Sword before I finish Ninja Gaiden Black, which I started a year ago, you know? Because it's just there. It's just easier to pick up and just go at. Whereas Hotel Dusk, you know, Hotel Dusk, I had to walk around the hotel and try to figure all this shit out. And yeah, it was a lot of reading too, but figuring all that out like felt like it took a long time. So it was
and like while still fun, it was
like it took longer.
Yeah.
So you can't really marathon that as well.
It's not even down to like how much patience you have; it's just how much time in a day that you have.
That too, yeah.
I actually, going back to Jimbo again, he kind of plays Call of Duty 4 like an MMO, and a lot of people kind of it doesn't even go dedicated to MMOs, what I said, it goes to games that are, you know, require time like MMOs, whereas Call of Duty 4, if you want to get really good, or Halo 3, if you want to get really good,
right,
you spend hours and hours and hours playing these games.
And then the games that you bought otherwise aren't being played.
Yeah. Now, what happened was James, Jimbo, he started Suikoden 2 after beating Suikoden 1. And got about, I think it was about 20, 25 hours into it. And he was kind of playing Call of Duty 4 a little bit at the same time. And then eventually just Call of Duty 4 took over.
Right.
And I don't know why that reason was. And I'm, you know, I always pick on him about he's never going to play Lost Odyssey. He's never going to finish Suikoden 2 because he was supposed to play Lost Odyssey after he beat Suikoden 2. And I don't know why exactly he stopped playing, And
Suikoden
II is kind of like a hidden reason almost, where it's like, why would you stop playing this awesome RPG where you're really into the story?
And it's also short, too, right?
So he's actually like 20 hours.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like 10 hours. That's the first one, right? The first
one is 10 hours if you know exactly what you have to do.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, he's the one that'll make it 60 hours just to get every character and etc. That's what he did for the first one. He got every single
Let me chew my own horn here. I got every character and did the super side quest in 20 hours.
Ooh, wee!
But then again, I did play the game like four times.
Oh,
there you go.
But let's see. This one, actually, I think Al can relate to really well. She's calling it Boulevard of Broken Games. Fantasy Star for Game Boy Advance, much?
Game breaking bugs.
All these music references, like Dead on Arrival and Boulevard of Broken. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah. Basically, for those who aren't reading the article out there listening, it's a game breaking basically when you're like far into it. So she actually.
I've never experienced this example that she gives. Though.
Really, which one? The canon glitch.
The Zelda one.
Yeah. I think because we didn't. It's like you had to have saved in that room specifically at a certain point in time, and then you're fucked. But I avoided.
They fixed that.
They fixed that with a new disc. But I was able to avoid it because I heard about it beforehand. But like, yeah, that one happens near the end of the game, right? So that happens to you, and you're like, I can't move on. I have to start over from the beginning. But this is a 40 hour Zelda game.
Yeah.
No, forget it. You know,
I've kind of had a similar experience. Not exactly. I got to the end of Final Fantasy X. Mm-hmm. I've never beaten Final Fantasy X. It's right when you're on the airship and you're just about to fight Big Bad Sin. And I just was a little underpowered, and I knew what I had to do to get overpowered, which would be grind.
Right, and you didn't want to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like I wouldn't have mind doing it, but I just kind of sat the controller down and never picked it up again.
You just like forget it.
Crazy. Well, I never did. Like, yeah, that's the thing though. Is I never sat the controller down. I was like, oh, screw this, or I never had that attitude. It was just like, I'll get around to it.
Right.
And then I just never did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the example that, if people have forgotten, that I'm setting for Al is, which Phantasy Star was it that you were playing on the collection? One or two or three?
Three.
He was playing, correct me if I'm wrong, you were playing three, and you were pretty...
No,
you were pretty...
I'm sorry. No, that wasn't
was
a bug.
One.
That was
it
my
was
battery.
One.
It was one.
Oh. Okay. Well,
I locked up on you or something.
It's still the same thing.
Right. So basically... You were playing through it. You were near the end, and then when you tried to save, your battery was running out.
That was because my battery was running out on Phantasy Star 3, and my battery died as I went to save, so it corrupted the save, and I had to start from the beginning, so I didn't play it again. But
and then Phantasy Star 1 has a game-ending bug, right? And that's a
basically.
One. So what happens there?
When you try and save the game, occasionally it just crashes and doesn't save your game.
Oh, Jesus. Wow, that's terrible.
That's really messed up if you've gone a long way, and then you're like, okay, let me go save. Now saving!
I think the length of games have really become standard. Oh, God, one of those words where I can't say them.
Standardized.
Yes. like, I think since this generation, games like Gears of War, and like Heavenly Sword, and Call of Duty 4, and The Darkness... it feels like it's about 6 to 12 hours long, whereas like if we brought this topic up like 10 years ago, it would be like, oh, they're about, you know, they take a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just because there was more RPGs coming out in the time, or what? But it just feels like even action games like Heavenly Sword, they're just shorter, or like Gears of War, they're just really, they're not as drawn out as they used to be.
It is relative. I mean, because get into the time factor of the games and stuff like that. Every Nintendo game that I played was like over in an hour.
Yeah, when you got good at the game,
you got it.
Beat it in an hour, and if it went longer than that, you were like, wow, it's a pretty big game, you know? Ninja Gaiden 2 was like, oh my god, that's fucking epic, you know? It only took 2 hours. You know, that's nothing compared to
the first one
is
like 15 minutes.
Yeah, and then you get to our time, and like we've become a little bit more jaded, where we're saying like, games like Rygar, for instance. Oh, God. I beat it in like 5 hours. Back then, that was a long time.
What the thing is? I think it's also that when we look at something like Ninja Gaiden 2, especially, That was freaking hard. So while the entire front-to-back experience is under 2 hours, it, like, when you're the effort that it took to learn the stages.
Like if you can't play Mega Man, any Mega Man, on the, you know, on the NES and be like, oh, I beat it in, like 45 minutes.
Until
you took for fucking ever trying to get through whatever stage.
And all the passwords and everything. Like, I got down to a point where I could beat Mega Man 2 in 45 minutes. That was because I had played it so much as a kid. You know,
yeah, exactly.
That's and all that time adds up. Whereas today, something like God of War, love the game, but it is kind of an easy game unless you're playing it on God mode. It's pretty easy to get through. It's just that the dynamic has changed so that because it's easy, you don't spend time with doubling efforts. So you're spending more time getting through the game. It's kind of perilous because I think nowadays if they gave us a game like Ninja Gaiden that was so hard and brutal, but only 2 hours for front to back, people would be up in arms. A, this game is way too short. 2, this game is way too hard. And I'll be like, what are you complaining about? You take all that time to here's a perfect example. Ikaruga. Ikaruga is a game that could be, it's a shmup. So the time.
April 9th,
that's right. It's a shmup, so the time is set. You know, the boss battles are over in 99 seconds or less because you're automatically scrolling the game. Goes from point A to point B in a certain amount of time, but you're playing it so goddamn much. Like, Treasure did this great thing where when you kept on dying, if you were to play the game for every hour that you played the game up until 10 hours, you would get an additional continue. So, Al, help me out here. What did you get up to 10, or after hour 10 you got infinite?
I think after hour 10 you got infinite,
right? Yeah, so if you've been playing for 10 hours, you get infinite continues. Al and I both have infinite continues on the GameCube version because we've been playing it for more than 10 hours trying to figure the goddamn game out. You know, but, you know, if you're an Ikaruga whiz, those of who do exist out there and are amazing, you can finish the game in, like, what does it take, like 45 minutes, half an hour? So
I think 20-25 minutes because all the stages are set time.
Right.
By the songs. The song length are, like, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes.
So, like, yeah, I mean, it's all dependent on the type of game it is and whether or not people are accepting of the challenges that like Shirin the Wanderer, you know? So,
I think the length of the game actually, probably one of the primary ingredients for it is actually the story. And I did a write up on my blog a couple of weeks ago that really got no, you know, traffic whatsoever. But I pointed out that. It was when I beat Armia 2, I was like, wow, that ending really sucked. And the reason I was chatting with a few friends about it, and they were like, you know, what makes Armia 2 so good then? And I was like, well, the gameplay is really good, but the story, you know, but it's short. It was probably about, you know, Gears of War Experience, 8 hours, which in today's terms feels like, you know, kind of the below average, slightly below average of game length. And I said, the game could have been so much better if it just had a good story. And it could have been so much longer if it had a story. Huh. The story there, I mean, it had a story, but...
Right.
It's kind of like, I'm trying to say, like, Heavenly Sword, it's 6 hours long. What's the story for it?
Right.
Is it memorable?
Right.
Maybe if it had a longer story... Or a better story, it could have been more, you know, a little longer. I think the same thing with Gears of War is that they could have fleshed out the characters a lot more. Assassin's Creed was actually pretty decently long. It was probably about 15 hours or so. I don't know if anybody else has played through it.
Not in its entirety.
I'm still in the beginning, sort of.
But, and even though the story wasn't good, they drew it out.
Right.
And it felt right.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, Gears of War, that's not drawn out at all. It's just
right. You
shoot dudes
and now,
make chainsaws, and yeah.
Now, you brought up a very interesting thing about the endings, because this next section actually talks about the ending, and it says, she calls it the impotent end. And to sum it up, she's basically saying, the obligatory special mention at the end of credits, special thanks to Capcom, all staff, and you, doesn't exactly cut it. A game's ending should be worth fighting for. Now... I'm probably in the minority here, but I'm just even if a game's ending is complete shit, playing the game is what it's all about for me.
Yeah,
So I'm kind of at odds with this statement that she's making. I can't agree with her in any respect, because it's like, even if a game's ending sucks, the reason why I played the game was to play the game. I don't care if the ending sucks. Like, for example, Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, those were some of the worst endings ever. Like, it's just like, Guile, no! Killing him won't bring Charlie back. I am glad you came, honey. I will go home and be a family man. And then
maybe sometime go out and have a burger.
Yeah, and then special thanks to Capcom, all staff, and you. And it did that. And it was like, wow, this game was shitty. I'm going to play it again.
I played through Army of Two 3 times, and the ending is almost worse than Assassin's Creed, which...
Right. Now think of this. Think of playing Chrono Trigger, okay, and getting the complete shitty ending. I mean, with an experience that is so enjoyable, like, and Chrono Trigger is one of those things that I really have to bring out, because that experience was such an enjoyable one. You know, it's just pure, unadulterated, classic RPG action that doesn't bog you down. It gives you nice characters, it gives you a cool gameplay system that's not too complicated, maybe a bit too simple for its own good, but that's okay because it still manages to be enjoyable, and then you get the shitty ending. Does that really... Does that really throw away all the enjoyment that you had for those 12, 20 hours? And for me, it's like, no, it doesn't. Just because the ending's shitty doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy the past entire week that I spent plugging away at this game. So I've never really bought into the whole, oh, man, this game's ending sucks, man. You know,
a lot of people say it about movies, too.
Huh?
A lot of people say that about movies, too. They, like, a lot of times people... judge a movie based on its ending.
Right.
It's true.
And I'll agree with you there, Al. I don't know if you were actually making a verdict there, but I feel the same way about movies. It's like, if the movie... Well, there's a difference. If the movie was building up towards an ending and that was its main huge point, then that's kind of stupid.
Then it deserves it,
Then it deserves to be chastised for it. But if it's something like, let's say... And here's a movie that, for me, hasn't aged well. I actually kind of don't like it anymore. But just for a safe example, Independence Day, okay, with Will Smith. Back when I first saw it, I loved that movie. Because of all the effects, because of all the action and the explosions and all the weird aliens and shit. I thought the ending with the computer virus was a complete, retarded, stupid shit. But I still loved the rest of it because I loved the action, you know? Whereas, I don't know, you get a movie...
Sponsored by Apple.
Yeah. You get a movie like Stay with Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but basically...
No.
I actually liked it a lot. And I did like the ending, and I thought it was cool how they did it, but, and I'm going to try to not spoil it, it's the type of ending that a lot of people think is a cop-out. And it's like, the entire movie was kind of a mystery. You were trying to figure out what was going on, and in trying to figure out what was going on, the ending reveals it all, right? So those types of movies... Where it's so
Night Shyamalan movies.
Yeah, where it's so hinged on that resolution. That's what the crux is, and if that falls apart, then the entire movie falls apart too. I don't know that I've personally come across a game that has done that, because the main impetus for me playing a game is in the interaction and not about necessarily the whole story. I think maybe there are one or two things. Like, I think if Hotel Dusk had a really, really stupid resolution and like it had a really dumb explanation for everything, then I'd be like, okay, well, that's kind of lame, because the entire game is about reading. So it's like,
you know what's
reading is fundamental. The end.
What I find funny about this whole thing is they're talking about a really good game experience with like a shitty ending. Now, how many of us have played a really, really bad game with a great ending?
I will say, honestly, I will.
We never get that far, do we?
This will be kind of weird, but I'll say Final Fantasy VIII, and here's why: because I've made my hate for this game known, and the oddest thing about it is that the story, like, even though people didn't like the fact that Squall was like a fucking emo kid who was like slitting his arm, you know, I still liked the overall plot, and even though it got kind of hokey with like, oh, we all went to the same orphanage. Okay, that was stupid, but. But like, just over the overall story arc, you know, good or bad, was just like, I enjoyed it, you know, whether or not it was good or bad, I really did enjoy it, and I enjoyed the ending. I enjoyed the way that they scripted it, and the way that they choreographed it, And, like, even though, even though it kind of got hokey, like, I just always entertained by the entire story and by the ending. I was just very entertained. But the game itself, I hated. I hate the game. Like, I will basically never forgive it for making me sit through the game in order to get that story. Like, I would have rather had a freaking full feature. That's what I would have rather had the Final Fantasy movie be. Final Fantasy VIII. Just give me that as a movie. I don't want to play that game. But
you know, everybody wanted Final Fantasy VII as a movie.
Fuck that shit.
No, fuck that shit. I don't know. I don't want to be like, I'm getting at you or I'm offensive, but there's kind of a difference between hating a game and a bad game.
That's true. Like, no, that's a good point. That's a good
liking
point.
Liking a game and or not liking a game, and is it a good game or is it a bad game? That's kind of where the reviewer's line
is. That's a very good point. I mean, I'll say right now that I think it's also a bad game. But like, let me think of a more appropriate example then, because that is a good point.
It's kind of hard because a lot of the bad games just don't have good endings. And like you said, I mean, there's story-driven games, and there's gameplay-driven games, and there's games that, you know, kind of intervene both, whereas, like, Hotel Dusk, that's obviously a pretty story-driven game, like, Gears of War, that's a gameplay-driven game. Or as, I guess you could say, in a way, Lost Odyssey, that's kind of both. It's about, you know, the gameplay and the story.
I'll pose this, okay? And this is probably going to be unfair because I haven't finished it, but Manhunt 2, if the story, like, it's kind of intriguing. The plot is kind of intriguing, and I think I'm going to assume here. There's a complete assumption, but assuming that the ending, you know, follows suit in terms of the quality of the story. It's not the greatest story ever, but it's cool.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, but the game itself is just like the game is. It's just uninteresting, and the level design is just so basic and flimsy, and it's basically a retread of the first one, but just nowhere near as good. You know, it's not that great of a game, period. But, like, the ending that's cheating. I'm still cheating, so I'll forfeit that example. I can't in good conscience say that. Oh, the ending could be good, even though I haven't finished it.
Combining like what we're saying now with what we were saying earlier about length of games and like what's a good game or a bad game that you play with a good or bad ending.
Right.
How can I put it? It's like the only good game or the only good ending. Like, good story, good ending I've ever played is from long games. I've never played a 10-hour game, an 8-hour game, a 6-hour game with a really good ending. Now, I've heard Call of Duty 4 kind of sums it up, but, you know, it doesn't have enough time to build up.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering, how can we compare this to movies? Because movies are only 2 hours in length, an hour and a half in length.
Yet
they still serve good stories, you know?
Right.
Lord of the Rings, etc.
Hey, you know, that might be the key in that the medium for telling a story is more appropriate for something that is between 2 and 5 hours, simply because when you start to stretch it out, that's when things start to get thin.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then there's serial television, which a lot of the time has good stories. So it's hard to determine. I don't know. You're right.
Really?
I've given up. I can't think of a good game. I can't think of a bad game that's had a good ending.
It's really, really a complex kind of and sensitive topic where is it the story that makes you want to finish a game or is it the gameplay? And I think it's just really a combination of both. And when you have, you know, a short game, it's kind of easy to finish. But I don't really think this article points towards games like Gears of War. I think it points towards games
RPGs.
Like RPGs. Right. I mean, look at the screenshots on the article.
Right.
Despite Heavenly Swords on there. But, you know, Heavenly Swords right above Too Little.
Right.
And yeah, that game is 6 hours long.
Too Little!
And then you have a secondary character, which I think is like another 2 hours of gameplay.
Right.
And then you're done. It's not like a Nintendo title 10 years ago where
you keep on going and going and going.
Where you play, and, like, you know, replay you play again. For an hour and you can beat the game, but then you do it over and over and over. And, I mean, you've probably sunk how much time into Mega Man, and that was...
Right.
That kind of translates over to the nowadays really long.
Right. Before we move on to grinding, I had one more thing about the endings, like, something that has always interested me. Instead of the game ending to a story, what about the game ending period? Like, the last encounter that you have. Now, that could possibly turn me off to finishing a game if the ending sequence is complete shit. Like, I can't get past this guy. I don't care anymore. It's really cheap. And Ninja Gaiden. It's really cheap. Like, the NES Ninja Gaiden. It's really cheap, and I'm sick of this.
Like, hey, let's just throw this really fucking hard boss right in front of this, you know, in front of the main bad guy that you fight. Yeah. That's actually kind of really easy.
Yeah, and at that point, it's like, okay, thanks for the time, thanks for the memories. Now I'm going to throw you against the wall, and I'm not going to finish you anymore.
Either that, or the ending boss turns out to be a big disappointment. For instance, Shadow Man.
Right, but the...
anybody who's ever played Shadow Man,
but like, were you able to beat it? What I'm saying is, this is about like finishing the actual game. Mm-hmm. And if I think of a disappointing boss, it's probably easier to finish a game where the boss is too easy or kind of disappointing as opposed to a boss that's way too hard. That's what I meant. That's kind of what I meant. I definitely know, like, in the grand scheme of things, a disappointment or satisfaction that, yes, a disappointing end encounter can be kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have you play the game again.
Well, a second time, but yeah. Now, she names this one an axe to grind, and... Slunks, you just pretty much nailed it on the head with your Final Fantasy X example. Like, I'm going to get to it later. I don't know. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to put me as an example because it was just like, I never went, oh my god, screw this, and then threw the controller across the screen. It just kind of died on me for some reason.
You're like, I'll get to it later.
There's kind of this mysterious reason behind, like, this mysterious, unknown reason, only found in the Twilight Zone. Where it's just you put these games down and you don't know why, despite your having fun with them or whatever. I mean, with James not playing Suikoden 2, he just suddenly has moved on. He's playing Kingdom Under Fire right now for some, you know, God knows why.
Yeah, and, I got to agree. I have the same things. I'm looking at all these games on my shelf. I'm like, I've had some Elite Beat Agents I haven't finished yet. I haven't tested in like half a year. And I had so much fun with it. I don't know.
And that's kind of like why I like... you know, writing a lot is that I get to finish games and I get to, you know, conquer the full experience of completing a game, and I don't have that feeling of, wow, look at all those games I have on my shelf that I have not finished or I've put 2 or 3 hours into. You know, that's definitely died down on me. Whereas, like, a couple of years ago, I could say, well, I play EverQuest and look at all those games. I play EverQuest. I don't beat games. But look at my awesome level 70 mage, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
My awesome level 70 mage, what?
What?
Sorry.
What?
What?
Nothing.
He's saying he doesn't beat games like EverQuest. Because it's like, you just keep going.
Yeah, you just keep going.
No,
grinding.
Just nothing. My character's a level 70 mage. That's why I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, here's one that really, really resonates with me. She calls this one, Oh God, Where Am I? And it's basically... You put down an RPG for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, you come back to it, oh shit, what happened?
Yep.
Where am I? I don't know. And that's why I really, really appreciated what Hotel Dusk did, because they give you a memo pad with which to write down what you were doing. So every time I was on the subway, I'd be like, okay, must take this bottle back to John in room 27. And I would write that down in the memo. And the next week when I picked it up, I'd go back and I'd give the bottle to him.
You kind of like trigger the memory that you.
Yeah,
know,
I'm like, oh yeah, that's
where
I was.
Yeah, that's where I was.
And I did that, and then I'd erase it and fill it in with a new task. John now wants me to do X, Y, and Z. You know, so
I think,
go ahead.
I think what she says here is like the final. You know, this is shutting the door of ever coming back to the game.
Right.
It's just, where the hell am I?
Yeah.
What was the game? I can't remember the name. It, like, every time you loaded it up and you reloaded your save, it would explain exactly what happened, kind of like a movie. Where it was like...
Sounds awesome. It sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is.
It wasn't like a... It wouldn't say like a movie, but kind of like the second part of, you know, this episode of Family Matters or Scrubs. Where it was like, here's a recap of what happened, and it showed some gameplay footage. I cannot remember the name. I'm pretty sure next week somebody's going to send an email and be like, oh, that was that game or whatever.
Yeah.
But
previously on 24...
Yeah, exactly like that.
They talk about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, which they also did in Fire Red and Leaf Green, where it's like on your journey or previously on your journey, and they show like the last four things you did.
Oh, that's cool.
And
that is really
cool. That's
cool.
Maybe that was it.
But,
I don't know.
Actually,
you know, what's good at keeping a log of shit stuff? Games like Morrowind and Oblivion.
Huh.
Oh yeah.
Like though, because all your quests are kept in that fucking log. And, like, you know exactly what you need to do and where you need to go. Like, I love Oblivion because I can pick, like, I love, for a game that I love so much, I play it very little, but that's the reason why I love it, because I can pick it up at any time, do something for 5 minutes, and feel like I've accomplished something, or do something for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, feel like I've accomplished something, put it down, not come back to it for a year, come back and know exactly what I was doing, because it keeps a lock of everything you've done, and, like, everything that you need to do. And I think more games need to just do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a game where that's something that you – I mean, it might sound really, really obvious, but that's something that you couldn't hand to your mom or dad. Whereas, like, I mean, just – I'm not trying to solo Oblivion. I'm trying to say, like, this mainstream of – well, maybe I am trying to solo Oblivion. I don't know. But you can't – I had, you know, if you know the Wesker on GameSpot, he's a good example of this, where he played Oblivion – got out of the cavern, and then went, what the hell did I do? I don't know what to do. And like, because you're so overwhelmed, all of a sudden you're outside, and it's so beautiful, and then all of a sudden you look at the map, and you're like, whoa, where is this going? And even though there's...
Taylor, there's a compass!
Even though there's a compass! Even though there's a quest log that says, go here, do this, it's just kind of like, what do I do? Oh, I'm scared. Oh, God.
This final one is called You Are a Super Player, and I'm kind of confused, so let me read it like completely. Let's see. She says, in these days of excess games, will there ever be a return to the days when gamers devotedly picked apart and scrutinized every iota of every game? That kind of dedication may not be necessary, and indeed it can be a little disturbing, but gamers do feel guilty about the large number of quality games they suddenly lose interest in. The modern generation of consoles does offer some built-in reasons for the audience to stick around. Gamer scores encourage players to finish the title by putting a modern twist on an old concept, bragging rights. Unlocking achievements is satisfying, and after unearthing one goal, we feel a definite tug to find more. I'm not sure why this is. Is she talking about people aren't anal anymore about 100%ing?
Yeah.
Maybe because of the amount of time it takes, but at the same time, well, maybe because of the amount of time it takes and the entertainment that's kind of brought in, whereas, like, Guitar Hero, you're continuously, maybe not having fun, but you're always doing, you know...
The same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have fun with Guitar Hero and have, you know, 100 hours in front of you and eventually 100% the song, whereas, like, let's say any RPG, you're trying to collect all the items in the game. You're just running around pressing A, trying to find all the items, and it still takes you the same amount of time. Whereas, like Guitar Hero, you're actively doing something.
Right, right.
And I think that this also goes to the point where the "you are a super player" comment, I think, refers to rewards. Gamer scores are former rewards and achievements, of course.
Okay, good point. Now that makes sense. Now that makes a lot more sense to me. Okay.
And players don't want to play through games because they don't see the reward, apparently. They don't know exactly what they're playing
for. I can attest to this. I didn't play through Command & Conquer 3 on the PC because you get medals depending on how well you do on the mission. And I would get a silver medal, but I would never replay it just to get a gold medal, because that whole feeling of, like, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that whole feeling of, yeah, I did it, and, you know, showing off to your friends and stuff is completely gone. It's now the achievement point system on, you know, the 360. It's like, you know, look at, I got 100% on Guitar Hero 2, and I flew to Texas so I could, you know, finish it, but that wasn't the primary reason, but while I was in Texas, I finished Guitar Hero 2's achievement list, and if you go to Voice Xbox or what's the website? It's 360 Voice. I'm like one of 12 people who have 100%, you know, achievements on Guitar Hero 2, and that's kind of shown out to the world.
You owe Jimbo much cash and cookies.
Yeah. But
my owls have that same kind of correlation with, like, Metal Gear Solid. The reason why I haven't really played Metal Gear Solid 2 since I bought it 4 years ago or something like that. I'm always a stickler with stats and end game results. Like, I was kind of afraid of playing Devil May Cry because I thought that they were going to say, you suck at
you
the end
of
the
game.
You
got a D!
Metal Gear.
But they just say,
you're the worst player ever!
What's the Metal Gear doing here?
Why did he look like Troutman?
Shall we move on to our mail baggio, or any last comments about this?
I'll just say, I was considering buying Command & Conquer 3 for the 360 despite the, you know, controller...
Achievements!
you know, controls. Not for just achievements, but just so I can get that feeling of
I did it
improvement.
Yeah, yeah, I did it, bitch.
I did it.
Yeah, I had that same thing. Like I got Lego Star Wars for 360 just because of the achievements.
Lego Star Wars.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
We're at the mailbag. Go very quick because we got a little time left. People gotta go. So, first message from CJ Hope CJ underscore Hope 33 from GameSpot.com. Hey, you guys, this is CJ underscore Hope 33. God damn it, CJ underscore Hope 33.
CJ Hooker.
Yet again, and I come with a pretty simple question today. When playing a Final Fantasy game, do you usually set the game's active time battles to active or wait? Do you also lower or raise the speed of the battles? Here's what his comment is. For all the FFs I've played, with the exception of 12, I would set it to active just because it makes the game more action-like and forces you to make quicker decisions, making the games more exciting. With FF12, for some reason, I find myself switching back and forth between active and wait, active for normal enemies and wait for bosses or rare hunts, just because it gives me more time to think, which you need for some of the bosses in 12. So that's my question. Keep up the good work, guys. And when the hell is Big Nose Ethan going to be on again? I know his work is a bitch, but poor I need Ethan. To hear his sweet, deep voice again to get off. I mean, I didn't just say that. Bye!
Look at that.
So,
here, for the sake of Tony.
Police Quest.
Police Quest. SWAT. PC games. digital distribution.
I want to kind of open this up with, what did you play through, or how did you play through Chrono Trigger? Austin.
Active. Every game active. I put it on active, and I set the speed of the battles to the fastest possible so that I get the greatest challenge, and usually that means I get my ass kicked, but that's okay. The only time that I've ever set it to wait was this one boss in Final Fantasy VIII, the Kerberos, the three-headed dog, was insanely hard, so I set it to wait so that I could, you know, get my spells ready. But
Kerberos.
Other than that, like every... Kerberos.
Wait. Care Bear.
Care Bear Us. Wait, or as Ninja Gaiden on the NES calls it, the Kelberos. Keruberudosu. Nice. But yes, every single Final Fantasy game has been active and fast to speed. What about you guys?
Wait, only because I find the interface kind of like time consuming in itself.
Right.
Like most games don't have
all these menus.
Well, no, not that. They don't have an option where you could, like, choose a macro.
So that you know which option
you want to use for which battle, okay? So I find that, you know, just going and using certain things for certain battles, you know, certain menus for certain battles, I'm going to need some time on that, only because the interface, it's just not... quick enough, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree.
If it was a matter of just going into a battle and it was just attack for everybody, you know, no magic, no nothing and stuff. Well, of course, I would leave it on active. There's no decision there. But if you're going into a battle where somebody needs to do a specific magic before you attack, then you know, and since there's no macro, wait.
Right. I think the reason why I do that is, like, back in the days, like, before I got introduced to Final Fantasy Legend, I thought RPGs were really stupid. I was like, what are these menus? I don't like these menu things. It's stupid. So, like, my initial tendency was to keep it fast and keep it active because it made waiting through the menus a little bit more stressful. You know what I mean? Like, shit, I got to find the right spell. Shit, I got to find... Yep. That doesn't necessarily make it a good thing. It just, for me, it made it a little bit more exciting. So I would do things like I would sort the spells such that, like, you would have the most valuable ones up front. So, you know, things like that. But what about you guys, you other two?
Well, I play active. And
you suck.
I do active fastest speed just because it's tense. That's the way it is. Battles are supposed to be tense for me.
Right.
So I go through the battle, and if it's an enemy that's really fast, you know, if you're playing on active with the fastest speed, it's your job to slow that enemy down, cast slow or something like that.
Right.
Or you have to play faster. I usually haven't. I don't think I've ever set an ATB game to wait,
right?
Because I couldn't beat a boss. I don't believe that I have.
I don't believe so.
I'm still thinking. I don't believe that I have.
I play on wait. And I totally agree with Tony where it's just like, I don't want to go through this interface. Like, okay, magic. Oh, God, I got to find fire go. Oh, geez, I just select ice. Oh, shit, now it's going to heal the enemy.
You know? Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if there's a confirmation of what you're casting, still that is...
Because you have to keep on pressing A, like really fast, yeah.
And I think this kind of goes back to, are you playing a gameplay-driven game or are you playing a story-driven game?
Right.
If you're playing a story, then you're probably going to put it on wait. If you're playing on, you know, a gameplay-driven game where the gameplay is really fun, then you're probably going to put it on active, so...
Right.
Yeah, I also don't like wait because wait is based on... is directly based on an agility factor.
Yeah.
So you can't time things the way you want to.
Right.
With ATB, you can skip somebody's turn, go to somebody else's,
and
do things and set things up a certain way. Like, that's why I have a little bit of a problem sometimes. Like, I'm trying to finish Final Fantasy III.
Well,
and it's sort of unpredictable because if you're fighting a boss that has two or three turns,
right, yeah.
Then you're like, you're trying to time things. Like, all right, I need to get my heal off before the boss does.
Actually, I think there might be a slight confusion here because as far as I remember, the wait modes on the active time battle games weren't the ones that said, like, okay, here's your round. You select your actions and then go. Those are the actual battle systems. But the wait mode, I think, is literally, it's the same as active, except when it becomes your turn, everything stops. So, right. So you could still kind of cast an appropriate spell at the appropriate time if you wanted to. You know what I mean? It just, the game will stop and wait for you to make that choice.
Right.
And then, and then you could say, okay, this guy's hurt. I need to heal him, and I know that I will heal him because it's not gonna just do all four characters at once, and it's not gonna force me into waiting for a round to go. It's actually just gonna heal him, and then when the enemy goes, it's gonna wait, and then when I go again, it's gonna wait. When I go into my spell menu, it's gonna wait. So yeah, I think it's slightly different that way. But
you're entirely right about that. I think that's actually kind of independent with certain games. So it could be certain games have that, certain games aren't. But yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Right. More comments or move on to other email?
Here's my comment.
Move on. Okay, here's a message from Ish. FF Gothic on GameSpot. I almost said on Final Fantasy Spot. Oh my gosh, I haven't sent you Corn Brawl's a pregunta in a minute. But anyway, I found myself thinking about 50 Cent's new upcoming sequel to the shit-tastic Bulletproof and how rap artists have been involved in video games over the years. A couple of examples aside from Shitty Scent are Wu-Tang and their Shaolin Style fighting game back in the PS1, which I actually used to own. Not Ish. Both that and Bulletproof suffered from horrible reviews. Another was Bast was Get on the Mic, which was a karaoke game with really poor covers of popular rap songs. Nice. I even recall a news bit from years ago that Eminem was supposed to endorse his own puzzle game.
Does he even know how to spell puzzle?
What? Eminem? I don't know. Some successful hip-hop theme games, Parappa the Rapper, Getting Up, which is a Mark Echo game, and the popular Def Jam fighting series. Now that I've filled this message with background info, here's the actual question. What are some other hip-hop-inspired games that you have played or remember seeing, and what artists or groups from the genre would you like to see aid in the development of new games with their likenesses?
More Britney Spears games!
Yeah, because that's hip-hop. But, I'm actually interested in Def Jam Icon just because of the music aspect of it, like how you can integrate your MP3s with the battle that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one, prominent one, that I really remembered is this game called Rap Jam Volume 1, which was an NBA Jam ripoff with actual hip-hop artists in there. Suffice it to say, it never got to Volume 2. But,
it's like History of the World Part 1.
I generally just kind of balk at the prospect of any, not just hip-hop, but any artist having their own game. You know, it just seems even more contrived and even more forced than a movie license game. The only ones that came close to a musician being a game is, Omicron, or however you pronounce it, the Nomad Soul, which is a game I think was by Eidos, and it starred David Bowie.
Mm. Really?
In some capacity. It was either his music was in it, or he was one of the characters, or...
I'm an alligator!
Or his likeness was used as one of the characters, so I don't know. But, I don't mind a hip-hop-inspired game at all. In fact, like I said, Def Jam Icon is something I'm interested in, because I've heard that it's not a wrestling game, and I don't like wrestling games.
I don't mind any game having, you know, like, stars in it and stuff, so long as they participate in the making of that game. Not that they just put their
but
name on it.
But
then
have some influence.
Like Tony Hawk?
Well, Tony Hawk and the other skaters did have some...
that's what I'm saying, they helped with the development,
yeah, exactly, with their moves and motion capture and stuff right. like that, you know, just to get their signature moves down and stuff like that. Right. Now, what I'm talking about is back in the Genesis days, we had Pat Riley basketball. He wasn't even fucking involved.
He was just the Joe
Montana football, the first one, wasn't even involved in the game.
What's his name?
They didn't even have real fucking teams. You know, it's like such bullshit, you know, and what was it?
David Robson, Supreme Court.
Oh, man, you're bringing it back. That was such a shitty game, too.
I used to like that
Tommy Lasorda baseball.
Pat Sajak's lucky letters. Did Pat Sajak even help on that game?
Oh, my God.
You used to say Pat Sajak's lucky letters.
If you're going to have a game with your name or likeness in it, at least participate in the making of that game. That's all I ask.
What about
that
Paris Hilton
game? I don't care if it's
game.
By...
Oh, God.
I don't care if...
What? Diamond Quest, which is supposed to be named Jewel
Paris
Jam.
Paris Hilton. What the fuck? Guys, come on. What the fuck? Are people that fucking stupid that
don't,
they actually...
I don't know if you remember, but she actually... They changed the name of the game because she came into a press conference and said, I'm excited to announce my new game, Jewel Quest. When it was
Diamond Quest.
I mean Diamond Quest, when it was called Jewel Jam. And so they're like, she's actually unveiled a new name before scheduled. So, you know, that was planned. And they're like, retardo. But
I'm gonna contradict myself
what
here.
What a dumbass.
I'm gonna contradict myself here by saying I think in a way, a slight reason that we see games like these, like 50 Cent, Bulletproof and all that, is because of piracy. Just because sales in the music department really, really aren't up there.
That's a good theory, actually.
Has 50 Cent or whatever his name is, Curtis
Jackson.
Or other. Jackson, it's Curtis Jackson.
Curtis, sure. My name is Curtis Jackson. I got a hole in my cheek. That's how he talks. That's how he talks.
And I think that they're looking for ways to make money, and, you know, it takes how much money to throw at a game and say, here you go, developers, here's, you know, $2,500 grand or whatever, make me a game.
Right.
$2,500 grand. Just,
25 bajillion. 1 bajillion. Yes.
I mean, I would like to see... Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then I wanted to follow up by contradicting myself where, as an artist, you probably don't make that much money off of sales anyways.
Right.
Nah, you make more money off a tour.
Yeah. If there's a hip-hop inspired game, I think there could be something cool if someone could make like a turntable game, like a mixing game, you know, just a music game. Or let's see, I mean there are plenty of hip-hop artists, well, not plenty anymore, but like there's a subsegment of hip-hop artists who are very socially conscious, and you know, they don't rap about bitches and hoes, they rap about like the issues. Like the political issues and economic issues and just, you know, social issues. They're basically the constructive artists. And
I think that's how Eminem shines in a way. I don't listen to rap, and I know you have tenfold more knowledge of hip hop and rap than I do. But I've supposedly Eminem's pretty good in the whole oh my God, government corrupting the world stuff.
Sort of.
In a way.
Sort of, but it's like that general type of person. Like, if they could make a game that has a message to it that doesn't come off as corny, then that would be okay. But I just I don't know that they'd be able to do it. And the e-penis that we've drawn in the chat room is growing thanks to Slunks. But like, I just can't see it happening other than to make it completely immersed in the world like Def Jam Icon, where it doesn't really involve like an adventure. It's just a fighting game. Because every time I think of something like a hip-hop artist having a game, and again, not just a hip-hop artist, but any personality that's not like sports-based or whatever, even sports-based, Michael Jordan and Chaos in the Windy City is all I can think about. The most contrived, forced game, you know what I mean? It's like they're taking them and they're like, hey, let's just shove them into an event. Like, if they tried Rap Jam again and just made a basketball game with hip-hop stars, that might work. That might work if they did it right. So
I kind of think... I there's kind of A game that I like se- a game that I would like seeing would be, you know, regarding the hip hop and rap and all that, would be to actually, you know, create your own lyrics and being judged upon what you create.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe I guess there'd probably have to be some kind of like karaoke revolution, like get on the mic, you know, you actually
right.
perform or say your lyrics into whatever. Whereas get on the mic was just about, here's a rap song,
rap
practice
it.
In front of a mirror, and then go, you know, on stage and do the same thing.
Right.
So creating your lyrics is, you know, the majority reason of rap itself is that the lyrics, and if you can't create them, then what
right.
kind of game do you have?
Right.
So.
Let's wrap this up since Alfredo Dreadboy has to go to work. Let's do some quick housekeeping. Go visit the...
Don't blame this shit on me.
It's not blaming. We're doing a favor.
Stop all the blaming.
Housekeeping, go visit the Game Slaves podcast. It's on iTunes Store. You can get it at, by searching for Game Slaves Radio, or go to gameslaves.net, and there's a podcast page over there. DrFishyPants.com, our contributor, Dr. Fish62, a.k.a. Brian. He's also now a freelancer at GameSpot. He gave us his Professor Layton review. You can find that on the site. You can also find my Q&A with the director of Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. That's the first article on the site. Well, until the podcast goes up now, it's going to be the second article on the front page. And go to TalkXbox.com and spam all of Slunk's reviews. Endlessly. And I think that's about it. Any closing remarks before Al goes to work and Tony goes to go poop and I go to eat and Slunks goes to play Viking?
I need sleep.
He needs sleep. Closing remark, Al, Tony, anybody? No? Good? Yes?
In an unrelated story, hackers assault epilepsy patients via computer.
Relentless.
Courtesy Wired.
So Relentless Lose work to ID nameless bodies, courtesy of CNN. All right. For Al.
Bye, y'all.
For Tony.
Let it off!
Oh, shit. The police is here.
I have been your host, Chupon Austin, sister, Mr. Chupon Austin, and we're out. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
I'm out of breath.